जय ओम शुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम नतिलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंदगोड़ वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य शील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम गुंड राधा गुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की ओर प्रेमानंदी All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Dharini. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगं मामुद्धर भवार्णवात् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि श्रीव्रतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भव सागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशवां भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोर्सव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनम् यस्य सर्वभाव प्रणाशनम् प्रणामो दुःख शमनम् तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादितरद चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्मदायादिकवे मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरयाम् तेजो वारिमृदम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि धर्म प्रोज्जित कैदवोत्र परमो निर्मत्सराणाम् सदाम् वेद्यम् वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदम् तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभि तल्क्षणाल् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितम् फलम् शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतम् पिबद भागवतम् रसमालयम् मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाहम् सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयम् नमः यम् प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुवेदमभेदकृत्यम् द्वैपायनो विरहकादरमजुहावाम् पुत्रेदि तन्मेदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तम् सर्वभूतहृदयम् मुनिमानतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमदितिदीर्षदाम् तमोन्धम् संसारिणाम् करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यम् तम् व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुम् मुनीनाम् नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृतानेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भदा मुरारे मधुरीं न कनिकापि कापि कापि नमः ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवाणी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे श्रीमल गुरुचरणारविंदाभ्यां नमः वंदे नंदव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणमभीष्णशा यासं हरिगतोद्गीतं पुनादिभुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः पीतांबरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदगी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारगा वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म भासदां पुरतो मम मूगं करोति वाजालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपादमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमतिराधिकायै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवतीम् अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे पुल्लारविन्दाय तपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णप्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपाम् प्रपन्नभारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमाम् सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वल्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महद् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसच्चाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण महिनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामाविकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोत्तीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तकेशवाम् पराशर्यवजःसरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटं नानाख्यानगकेसरं हरिकथा सम्बोधनापोदितं लोकैः सज्जनषल्पदैरहरः पेपीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कजकलिमलप्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मूगं करोति वाजालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुद स्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैर्वेदैर्साङ्गपदैर्क्रमोपनिषदैर्गायन्धियं सामगाहम् ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्धियं योगिनो यस्यान्दं न विदुःसुरासुरगणै देवाय तस्मै नमः
Last year,
in the 11th canto, when we talked about Bhikshu Gita, so many things we spoke there. But what happens is, as time goes on, what we heard, we forget it. What we heard, we forget it. And things what Krishna has spoken so seriously in the Bhagavatam, we are unable to take it in the right spirit. How do we know that? That we understand when we see in our life how life things happens, isn't it? For example, we heard a lot of things what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava. And this Bhagavatam, Srimal Bhagavatam, it is like Bhagavad Gita or Yoga Shastram, it is called Bhakti Shastram, Upanishads. It's a commentary on all that this Bhagavatam is. Just like we say, when we say commentary, commentary means that the sun is shining in the sky and there's nothing you can do to increase the intensity of the sunlight, but or to decrease it, but the sun is shining, but with a little hand you can cover your eyes, then you feel a relief from the sunlight when the sun is shining. Similarly, there is no shastram, no person, nothing is available to give us a detailed understanding of the soul, Atma. Nothing is there to give you a perfect understanding of the soul. But it's always present in everyone's heart all the time. Parayoksham, it is illuminating in everyone's heart as the present inside. Therefore, how can the body, the mind, in which way can it help to give us an understanding of the soul? This question is coming. Just like we can say, see, how this body and the mind in relationship with self-realization helps? This is the question. I'm going back to something important. Why I had to say this was that we are talking about so many things, but when it comes to practical life, we forget everything. Whatever we have heard, Krishna has spoken so many important things in the Ekadasha Skandam to Uddhava, which we have gone through in detail for many, many years, and still it looks to me that we have forgotten all that, what we heard. And that forgetfulness of Krishna's instructions is only due to one reason. You shouldn't get hurt if I say this. Because the reason why are we not able to take these instructions to the heart? That is where bhakti comes. That's where bhakti comes. Bhakti, adarava, shraddha. All these qualities actually strengthens what we heard. Otherwise it will not remain. Because of the absence of bhakti in the heart, that these things are forgotten easily. That means that when Krishna is saying something, the absolute truth is talking. Krishna is saying to Uddhava so many things. We'll come to a few things before that. So, sometimes we say that realization of the self inside, Atma inside, it is like this. Sometimes people will ask you, can I do some help? Can I help you? We will say to them, you don't need any help, at least don't trouble me. That's the greatest help you can do for me. At least don't trouble me, that's the greatest help you can do for me. Similarly, this is the relationship with the body, mind and the soul. Body, mind and the soul. Body and the mind cannot help very much in realization of the self. But at least if they don't give you trouble, that itself is a great help. You see? It is a similar relationship. Sometimes when we say to people, people say to you that, can I give you some help? Can I offer you some help? We say, don't give me any help, at least don't bother me at least. That's the greatest help you can do for me. In the similar way, the body and the mind in relationship with self-realization is, it can't help you very much. At least if it cannot bother you too much, then that itself is a greatest benefit. That itself is a greatest benefit. Because for self-realization, this body and the mind is not of much help. Body and the mind is not of help, much help. So, just like we say, at night time, how can the sun help? Sun cannot help. So, Upanishads are saying that this knowledge of the soul is very simple. Is very simple. But many people say that while dealing with the world, it becomes very difficult. We get problems with others, from other people we get difficulties. We get problems. At that time, one has to understand that it is not only the other people who gives you trouble. Your own body is giving you trouble. What to talk about the other people? So, it is at that time you have to understand that if you have to answer all those questions of the problems we face from this world, that you can understand that it is not possible. It is not possible. How the external world will react to you in your dealings with the world is unknown to us. How the world will react to us is unknown to us. So therefore, if we have to correct the world every time, it is not possible. It is not possible. That is a Vedic understanding. This is different than the other religious processes. In all other religions, you go and correct the world. In Vedic philosophy, you go and correct yourself inside. That is the more practical and more realistic side. So that is why when we have a disease, we go to the doctor. Similarly, in our spiritual life also, that every time there is a block or there is an obstruction or there is a disturbance inside, you require a guidance and a help. And that guidance and help is Srimad Bhagavatam. That's how Bhagavatam is structured. When you need that help while dealing with this world, and when you are having difficulty from others or from other sources or whatever it may be, at that time the solution is in the Bhagavatam, not in the world outside. If you have to correct the world, it is not possible. It is not possible. So, this Bhikshu Gita we talked. Remember, Bhikshu Gita we spoke about it. But the problem is that what we spoke yesterday, we can't remember today. This is our situation. So, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava says there that whatever you may say, Uddhava says to Krishna, even well-educated people, very well-educated people, even they are under the control of material nature. They are under the control of material nature. If you look, tell you those verses when you have time. You can look at that. The last verse in the chapter before Bhikshu Gita. Uddhava uvacham vidushām abhivishvālpman prakirhi baliyasi hṛdeto dharma niradān śāntāṁste charanālayān. That was Uddhava's words to Krishna. Vidushām abhivishvālpman prakirhi baliyasi. That Krishna, Uddhava is saying to him that one who has not taken shelter of your lotus feet, Krishna's lotus feet, even for them, so one person asked this question, where would you go and catch hold of Krishna's lotus feet? How to get hold of that? Everybody, every devotee is saying you should take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. How do you find that? That so, the place where your false ego goes and dissolves, that's the place where Krishna's lotus feet is. When you have inquiry about the self, where the false ego goes and dissolves, that's the place is where Krishna's lotus feet is. That means Krishna's lotus feet is in our heart, where Atma is present. That is where Krishna's lotus feet. So you can see why it is said like that. Because only at that spot there is no effect of material nature. Material nature does not influence that place. It does not influence that place. So the only place in our whole body where material nature does not have any influence is the heart. Hridayam or heart. So, for example, in the mind there is material nature. In the body there is material nature. Material nature means the modes of material nature. Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. These three modes of material nature is operating in the body. They are operating in the mind. They are operating everywhere. They are operating in the world outside. And that is why material nature is called samsaram. Samsara dhavan analidalo. That samsaram, it's called material nature because it's operating in the body, it's operating in the mind everywhere. The only place where the material nature does not operate is the place where the super soul is present, that is within our own heart. So, so that is why everything else is called anatma, non-self. Body is non-self, the mind is non-self, intelligence is non-self, the world is non-self, only the self is antaryami or atma inside. So, therefore, if you mix with any of these things, if you make contact with any of these things, that means the soul, atma, if he has a contact with the body, it will have a problem. If he has a contact with the mind, it has a problem. If he has a contact with the world outside, it has a problem. Not only problem, that it will experience the miseries of material nature. Miseries of material nature. Not only that, even if you have understood the tattvam in the Bhagavadam to such an extent, even after that, when there is some problem at home in the family, or if somebody gives you trouble from outside, or any other problems that happens in life, or something gets upset in our own life, at that time, people will get affected by that. The reason being, the self has got contact with the external nature, material nature. External material nature. So, it is in this context, Krishna has spoken some very, very important things in the Bhagavadam at that time, before he began Bhikshugita. We spoke about all that, but because there was not enough contemplation, there was not enough analysis of that, again and again, we are falling back into the same stage, square one, as it happened before. So, let us look at that, what Krishna had to say. Krishna is saying there, just before Uddhava asked this question, he says, Yadhambasa prachalata taravobi chala iva chakshusha brahmyamanena drishyade brahmadiva bhu. These verses we spoke in detail before, but I'm going to repeat that again. I'm sure that you have all forgotten that, what Krishna had to say at that time. Yatha manoratha diyo vishayana bhavo amrasha svapna drishtascha dasharha tadha samsaram atmana artehi avidyamanevi samsridirna nivartate dhyayato vishayanasya svapne anarthagamo yatha tasmad uddhavamam bhukshva vishayanasadindriyaihi Albam agrahanamarbhadam pashyam vaikaltigam bhramam kshipto avamanido asaddhi pralabdho asuido dhava tadida sannibaddho va prutyava parihapida nishtido mutrido va ajnyer bahudevam prakambidaham shreyaskama krachragatha alpan alpanamudharet. That is a famous word from Krishna. Very, very famous. Krishna is saying there so many important things. Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, if you want to go upward in the spiritual path, you have to be like this. You have to be like this. Don't expect anything to happen otherwise. If you have taken the spiritual life seriously, this is what Krishna is expecting from us. Even though we read that, we have spoken about that, still we forget all this in the Bhagavadam, what we have spoken before. What did Krishna say to Uddhava? Nishtido mutrido va. Somebody will spit at you. Somebody will pass urine on you. Ajnyer bahudeva prakambidaha. Due to that ajnanam inside, ignorance inside, bahudevam prakambidaha. In many ways, they will agitate your mind.
Shreyas Kama Krichragadaham. One who wants to advance in the spiritual path, he should know how to tolerate that. Shreyas Kama Krichragadaham. Then, Alman Almanam Uddharel. Alman Almanam Uddharel. Alma, one has to elevate oneself. Nobody is going to come and do it for us. You have to do it yourself. We all have to do it ourselves. Alpan Alpanam Uddharet. That is famous words from Krishna. Even to Uddhava, Krishna said that. Shreyas Kama Krichagadaha Alpan Alpanam Uddharet. Alpan Alpanam Uddharet. That is the point Krishna has to make. So this one thing we forget easily. We easily forget that. And that is why again and again Krishna has spoken in the 28th chapter also, you will notice the same thing Krishna is repeating there. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, this you can in the 28th chapter he is saying that Uddhava Shogam 15th verse Shogam Harsham Bhayakrodham Lobha Moha Spruhadaya Ahangarasya Drishyande Janma Mrityushchana Almana. Shogam, harsham, bhayam, krodham, lobham, moham, spriha. The various experiences from the material nature. Shogam means distress, lamentation. Harsham, happiness. Bhayam, fear. Krodham, anger. Lobham, greed. Moham, illusion. All these things. Shoga, harsha, bhaya, krodha, lobha, moha, spruhadeya. All of them, one after the other. Ahangarasya drishyande. Krishna is saying to us, where does it hit you? In your false ego. When you are experiencing trouble from others, when you are experiencing trouble from the world, if we do not take this word seriously, ahangarasya drishyande. Where does it affect me? It's affecting my ego. Ahangarasya drishyande. Janmam, mrityu, Janma Mrityu Cha Na Almana. Even birth and death is also for the Ahangaram, not for the soul. So when we do not keep this understanding inside us, it is very easy to forget this. And as soon as we fall into this world and start our Vyaharam in this world, we get hit from all sides. Different people will react in different way. And at that time, if you can take Srimad Bhagavatam and read these verses, it will save you from a great problems in life. Shoga harsha bhaya krodham lobha moha spraha adaya ahangarasya drishyande janma mrityushchana almana. So you can see at different times in the Bhagavatam, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, this is the story I am going to tell you about a person. That Bhikshu, how he managed to come to this understanding overnight. He was a very, very rich person, lot of wealth he had, and overnight everything gone from this world. He has lost everything overnight. When he lost it, everybody left him. Not only that, they abused him. Even the people who were dependent on them, wife and children, they have left him. Outside world treated him, ill-treated him, spat at him, and spoke very rudely things to him. In spite of all that, he was able to deal with the world. How did he do that? That is what Krishna is saying there. Krishna is saying that what he did is that the realization what he got from his spiritual understanding, Krishna is appreciating that. That's what he is saying there. Kshipto avamanito asadbhi pralabdho asuyito athava tadida sannibhaddho va vrityava parihapidaha nishtido mutrido vajner bahudevam prakampidaha shreyas kama krichragadaha alpman alpanam uddharel. Same thing Krishna told who Arjuna also, isn't it? Alpan alpanam uddhare, uddhare alpan alpanam. One has to elevate oneself. So here, you can see that when we sit in the satsangam, hearing Bhagavatam, we feel okay, everything is fine. But when we go away, or when you are alone, you also feel good at that time. But one person said that there's a lot of difficulties at home. Children are not listening. All kinds of problems at home. Whatever you are saying is all correct in the Bhagavatam, to be established in the knowledge to the truth. But when we sit in the satsangam, or when we are hearing Bhagavatam, in meditations, in chanting, everything is good. But again, when we leave everything and go to the world, to deal with the world, problems are coming back, they said. Is there any shortcut for this, to get out of this problem? Because that's where everybody's problem is, isn't it? When you have to deal with the world, that's where problem comes. So the only answer was, he could give to him, the sannyasi said to him, that when he asked him, that I want to be free from all these things, he said. So the sannyasi told him, I'll give you a very quick solution, if you can follow it. You will get rid of all the problems, he said. Throw away your dhoti, just only wear your cowbean, he said to him. Only wear your cowbean. Completely shave up your head. And then don't talk to anybody, complete silence. And walk out of the house in that way. Don't bother about this world. As soon as he said this, this person took his bag and he left. He didn't want to hear further. He couldn't do it. So you can see that echen vang manascha, Krishna says that before. If you have the courage to do that, then get out of this world. That's the best thing to do. If you find the world is unbearable, miserable, and if you are getting hurt by the world all the time, from external people, or from other sources, from body, everywhere, if you are getting difficulty, ultimately if you have decided that this is not the right place to be, then the only thing you can do is to take the Paramahamsa Dharmam. Paramahamsa Dharma means to become a Paramahamsa. Paramahamsa means not attachment to the body, that means don't need any clothes except the very bare minimum, like a cowbean, what is necessary so that the society won't throw you away. And take away your hair off completely, and don't worry about anything, just walk out of the home, walk away from here. So, but the problem you will notice there, even if you leave home like that, there are some things which won't leave you. What is that? This body. There are few things with you which will never leave you. It will keep on going with you. Body and the mind. These two things won't leave you. So, here we are talking about a bhikshu who left the world in that way, isn't it? From his wealthy situation, when he had everything, at one point when he lost everything, this is what he did. This is what he did. He threw away everything, just took his kaupinam and also a pot, water pot, and a danda in the hand. He walked away from there, from home. That is Paramahamsa Dharmam. But Bhikshu is saying there, even then, the world will not go. Why? Because this thing called the body is still with you. Thing called the mind is still with you. And they will give you trouble still. This is our situation in this world. This is the important thing to understand. That it is easy that we have difficulties with this world in so many different ways. We'll experience problems. And we, because of our conditioning in that way, we think that world can be corrected. World cannot be corrected. That is a misunderstanding. This is a mistake, that what's going on in this world all the time, that we are trying to correct the world. World cannot be corrected. World will go its own way. That is controlled by somebody else. Prakriti, Durga Devi is controlling it from elsewhere. We don't have any control over that. Instead of trying to correct the world, Krishna is saying here, that is what he said in those verses. Mutrido taditova. If even somebody passes urine on you, or beat you up, or whatever it may happen, Shreyas Kama Krichragadaham. If you want to grow in spiritual side, Krichragadaham, you have to find that root. Alpan Alpanam Uddharel. One has to elevate oneself. These are opportunities in life. So, Bhikshu left everything and wandered away, and Bhikshu didn't feel any miseries from this world anymore. And that is what you find in the next Bhikshugita. Nayam Janome Sukadukka Hedu, where he is saying to us that people are not responsible for my problems. People are not my responsible for my problems. We always think others are responsible for my problems. Is it not? That is how we are conditioned. Others are not responsible. Nayam Janome Sukadukka Hedu. The first line in the Bhikshugita begins with that. So even after hearing all these things, still we easily tend to forget that. Is it not? And we start thinking, oh, he has done this to me, he shouldn't have done that, or somebody else has done this. Nayam janome sugadukahedo, na devada alma graham karmam kalam manaparam karanam amanandi. Our own mind is responsible for that. So this point Krishna is driving very strongly to Uddhava, and Uddhava saying to Krishna, it is very, very difficult to follow unless he has been fully fixed in Krishna consciousness. That's what you will find there. And before talking this particular point, Krishna spoke a few things before. Yadhamba saprachalata taravo vichala iva chakshusha bhramyamanena drishyade brahmadeva bhoom. Artehi avidyamanevi samsardirna nivartade dhyayado vishayanasya satne anarthagamo yadha. This is the very famous verse in the Bhagavatam. 5 times repeated this verse. 2 times in Kapilam, 1 times in Piranjanobhakhyanam, and 1 times now in the Agarshaskandam. Artehi avidyamanevi, Krishna's very, very famous statements. Artehi avidyamanevi samsardirna nivartade dhyayado vishayanasya satne anarthagamo yadha. Krishna is saying to us that dhyayado vishayanasya, in the daytime, what do? We think about various things in this world to enjoy, or problems, whatever it may be. Dhyayado. Dhyayado means vishayam, vishayadhyanam. Vishayadhyanam means meditation on sense objects. Sense objects means whatever in vacant state, what you are coming into contact with the senses. You are always thinking about that. Say, for example, office, the family, the friends, the society and everything. Dhyayado vishayanasya. And what happens? All these thoughts what were in your head, in your mind throughout the day, they come in the night in the dream. Is it not? They come in the night in the dream. Dhyayado vishayanasya. And when they come in the dream, they are not real. It is a dream in that dream state. But Krishna is saying, in the dream, you are suffering due to that. The suffering is real. It is not real in the vacant state, like the vacant state. But in the dream state, it is real. In the sense that you are experiencing the misery of those problems in the dream state. Dhyayado vishayanasya sopne anarthagamo yatha. Krishna's point is, in sopnam or dream state, this anartham is coming and giving you trouble. This anartham of the dhyanam, what you have done in the vishayam, in the vacant state. Dhyayado vishayanasya, that means in the vacant state, what you are meditating upon, that has created problems for you in the dream state. That's what it is. Dhyayado vishayanasya, what you have meditated upon during the day, in various ways with this world, interaction with this world, with friends, family, society, all kinds of things. Dhyayado vishayanasya, they come in the dream state and give you trouble. Vishayanasya sopne anarthagamo yada. They create anartham for you in the sopnam, in the dream state. Is it not? So similarly, Krishna's point is, artehi avidyamanevi samsardir na nivartate. Similarly, in the vacant state also, because there is avidya inside us, all of us, we have avidya inside us, therefore, even though you are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and everything, samsrutir na nivartate, you are unable to come out of material existence. This is Krishna's point. Artehi avidyamanevi samsrutir na nivartate. It is not possible to come out of samsaram because avidya is inside you, and in the vacant state, that avidya is what is operating all the time. It's the avidya inside us is working. It's a very, very subtle point what Krishna is making there. Until we understand and see some light in that way, we would not come out of this problem. Artehi avidyamanevi സംസൃതിർ ന നിവർത്തതെ ധ്യായതോ വിഷയാനസ്യ സ്വപ്നേ അനർത്ഥാഗമോ യഥാ. സോ ദോസ് ആൻഡ് തസ്മാദുദ്ധവമാം ഭുക്ഷ്വ വിഷയാനസദിന്ദ്രിയൈഹി ആത്മം. ദിസ് വേർഡ്സ് വി ഹാവ് സ്പോക്കൺ ഇൻ ഡീറ്റെയിൽ. ആത്മം ആഗ്രഹണ നിർബാധം പശ്യ വൈകൽപ്പികം ഭ്രമം. തസ്മാദുദ്ധവ ദെയർഫോർ ഉദ്ധവ മാം ഭുക്ഷ്വ വിഷയാൻ അസദിന്ദ്രിയൈഹി. This asadindriyam, asadindriyam means this nonsensical senses, which are nonsense. The senses are called nonsense. They create nonsense for us. Vishayan asadindriyaihi, tasmad uddhava ma mukshva. Come away from that. Why? Because almam agrahana narbhadam. Alma agrahana narbhadam. When we do not have realization of the self inside, everything what you are doing is vikalpam. Pashya vaikalpikam brahmam. You are in a brahmam, you are in that illusion, and these vikalpams are coming one after the other in the mind. Pashya vaikalpikam brahmam. Alma agrahana nirbhadam. Till you have realized the self, till you have realized the soul, realized who we are, or in other words, self-realization happens. Up to that point, alma agrahana nirbhadam. Pashya vaikalpikam brahmam. Everything is vikalpam here. Everything is vikalpam. So, when this is the situation, Krishna's point is, you are never going to be free from these problems of material life or samsaram till you realize the self. Till you realize the self. So, when we experience problems from the world, from others, for example, or from the office, and what to talk about even from your own body, if this realization has not going in, then you will have to accept the miseries of this world. There is no solution to this problem. We will generally complain, oh, that he shouldn't have done that, he should have done this. All these things we can say. But Krishna's answer is that if you want a real solution to the problem, don't go after the people who have given you trouble or even the body which is giving you trouble, because none of them is you. You are none of that, neither the body nor the mind, nor the world, none of them. You are somebody different than all these things. Krishna is saying, because you have not realized the self, alma agrahana nirbhadam, pashya vaikalpikam brahmam. Therefore, you are always in that vikalpam, and the brahmam that is created by the vikalpam. Pashya vaikalpikam brahmam. So, these instructions, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavadam, we have to keep on reading it, chewing it, and when some problem comes in life, the best thing would be to take to Bhagavadam and read through those verses. And if we are not remembering that and not able to read it at that time, the only reason for that is we have not accepted Krishna. That's all. That we have not accepted Krishna. Externally we say, yes, Krishna is the Supreme Lord, Krishna is the Supreme Personality and all that. But we will not listen to Krishna when he is saying to us something so seriously. And that too he has spoken to Uddhava at the very last minute. Bhikshu Gita was spoken. So you can see here, and that inability to accept Krishna's words is due to lack of bhakti. Lack of bhakti in the heart. That's what it is. If there is bhakti, we will accept Krishna's words more seriously than somebody else who has told me something. I would not accept that. You have to think in that way. My first acceptance is what Krishna is saying to me, not anybody else. What others can say and come and say and they can go, doesn't matter. What is more important is, Krishna is making us to always banging this one point strongly to our head, that unless we understand this, that tasmaduddhavamam bhukshva vishayana sadindriyaihi alma agrahana nirbhadam pashya vaikalpikam brahmam. That brahmam, that illusion inside, created by the vikalpam. Vikalpam means that to accept everything what is not atma. That is creating this vikalpam inside. When the vikalpam keeps on coming, what happens? Atma agrahanam. Never come to know about atma, about the soul. So Krishna has an important point there to tell the bhikshu, to tell the bhikshu. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, in another instance also, you will see the same thing. That is, in the sixth canto, while talking about in the seventh canto, while talking about Prahlada's relationship with Hiranyakashipu, you will notice the same thing happening again. Prahlada is saying things to Prahlada is saying this things to Hiranyakashipu. There is a list of the devotees in Pandava Gita. Pandava Gita is a part in the Mahabharatam where there is a list of devotees spoken. Prahlada Narada Parashara Pundarigam Vyasambarisha Shukashaunaga Bhishmagavyam Rukmangada Arjuna Vasishta Vibhishanadya Yedanaham Paramabhagavadam Namami. The five Pandavas are saying this about the list of devotees whom they accept as authorities. Like we have the 12 Mahajans in the Bhagavadam. In Pandava Gita they say this. Prahlada Narada Parashara Pundarigam Vyasa Ambarisha Shuka Shaunaga Vishmagadhyam Rukmangada Arjuna Vasishta Vibhishanadhyam Edanaham Paravabhagavadam Namami. The pure devotees who Pandavas consider at that time. While saying all these things, he also mentions there that the important principle that comparing about Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu. What was the main difference between Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu? Hiranyakashipu is always bahirdrishti, looking outward. Prahlada is always andhradrishti, looking inwards. This is the basic difference between a spiritually advanced person and materially advanced person. Materialist always in the world outside. That's where his attention is, isn't it? So, what will happen is that, that's why you can see that Hiranyakashipu, he was so external in everything that he was looking for Vishnu everywhere. Is it not? It's in the Bhagavadam, in the 8th canto. It's not spoken in the 7th canto. In the 8th canto, Hiranyakashipu wanted to kill Vishnu. He went right up to Vaikuntham, he couldn't find there. Vishnu is not there in Vaikuntha, he says. So Vishnu says, because I knew that he won't look for me, so I went and I was hiding inside his heart. That's what Mahavishnu said to, Mahavishnu said this, that I would not, he knew that he won't look for me inside. So I was hiding inside him. Because Hiranyakashipu's nature is like that, isn't it? So similarly, you can see people who are externally oriented, or always in the world looking for one thing or the other, for particularly you can see this nature of Hiranyakashipu in all of us, that scientists, they invented this, invented that. And now after all their inventions, we are more frightened about those inventions as created for us now. Is it not? All the weapons they have created, all the bombs they have created, the ships they have created, the aeroplanes they have created, the missiles they have created, and weapons and equipments they have created, and we are freely, we thought that we have advanced by finding all these weapons, is it not? Everybody, every country is proud of their invention of these weapons. And the very weapons what they have invented is coming back to them and frightening them. The bombs, nuclear bombs, this bomb, what that bomb, whatever it may be. Such a huge industry in this world because of these people whose vision has gone outside in this world. They gone outside like Hiranyakashipu, kept on inventing things, and all that inventions is coming back and hounding them now. All of them. They are in trouble because of that. That's what that fear is. So, and not only that, due to their advancement and development, they have created such a world that even the even simple things like pure milk is not available. What to talk about milk, even pure cow is not available. To that extent, things have gone bad, isn't it? So, so even the cow does not have the calf in the normal way now, with all their injections into the cow and trying to make the cow pregnant in an artificial way. So everything what we did against the nature, nature is coming back and forcing us to surrender in a different way. And we are completely perplexed what to do about it isn't it? So similarly, Hiranyakashipu also found out so many things. When he was talking to Brahma, he says all these things. Why? Bahirdrashti. Bahirdrashti. That means all his vision is in the world outside. So what happens is, when one's vision is outside in this world, his selfishness will keep increasing. It will keep building up inside. And when it will keep on increasing one's selfishness, if he becomes too external. And if it becomes inward looking, what will happen is that person will develop the good qualities like mercifulness and kindness and sarvasuhadbhav, all to all other living entities, a friendship, peacefulness, shanti, samadhanam. All these things, you will find the need for all that when one is developing internally. This is a very important point in the Bhagavatam. That if you look outside in the world, and if you keep on dealing with the world outside, what will happen is your selfishness will become stronger inside. You will become very selfish inside. If you look inwards, and if the inside world is building up, you will feel the need for all these good qualities. Which one? We talked about that kindness, mercifulness, and friendship to other living entities, peacefulness, shanti, samadhanam, all these things. So, external world, a person who is externally looking all the time, he requires a false ego. It is he who needs a false ego. This is in the 7th canto with Prahlada and Shukha Brahmarshi mentions this. That Bahirdrishti, one who is looking outwardly, all the time busy with the world outside, without any inward looking nature, that person requires false ego. He needs false ego. And it is at that time he requires name and fame and positions and followers, and the result of all that is envy, anger, hate, pride, all these things will build up in that person. Therefore, that is why Krishna calls it as Asuri Sambhata, demoniac nature in the Bhagavad Gita. Isn't it? Demoniac nature, Krishna says, Asuri is divine and demoniac nature in the Bhagavad Gita. This divine and demoniac nature is directly dependent on a person who looks outwardly or looks inwardly. Inward looking person will have a divine nature. Outward looking person will have a demoniac nature. It is an established fact. You don't have to make any research onto that. You will see yourself how that happened. So that Hiranyakashipu is an example of that external looking nature. External looking nature. That is why Krishna is saying here that without the understanding, he's saying here that before the Ekadasham, when he came to Bhikshugita, what he had to say that
tasmaduddhavamam bhungshva vishayana sadindriyaihi alma agrahana narbhadam pashyavaikalpigam bhramam.
Alpa agrahana narbhadam. That till we understand this soul, realization of the self happens, if you allow your mind and your vision to go into the world outside, vishayan asad indriyehi, that asad vishayam will be captured by the senses, pasya vaikalpiyam brahmam. Vikalpam will come from that. So you can see how important these verses are. In our, as I mentioned before, that when we have to deal with this world, you got to bear these things in mind. In our dealings with the world, problems will come in some form or the other. All you can do here is that if things go fine, if it goes fine, it's good if it happens. But Do not expect that it will go the way you want it to happen. If it goes in the way you want it to happen, that's fine. But if it didn't happen, you should not get disturbed over that. You shouldn't get disturbed about it. Let it go whichever way it goes. Because this knowledge, for thousands and thousands of years, the rishis have analyzed this world. The rishis have analyzed this world, and among those rishis who were particularly very elevated in their understanding, they created this tattva shastram, this knowledge of the soul, of the world, of the body, everything, and put that in a package, and that is called Vedic knowledge. What you find in the Upanishads, Brahma Sutram, Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita. It is from their studies of this world for thousands and thousands of years. And from their study, they have observed everything so astutely, very carefully. They have analyzed and then concluded that this is the reality of this world. We are talking about all these things for the last half an hour or an hour. I have spoken now these things. Is it not? About an hour I have spoken this. If you ask me the question, will this all help? Will it be effective? If you ask that question, it will go inside, little by little. It will go inside. And like the medicines. Medicines also takes time, isn't it? When you have a serious illness, it takes a few weeks. You have to take the few days antibiotics, or sometimes certain medicines for a long period of time. You have to take it. So little by little, it has its effect inside. So, but what will happen is, next time, when you are put into a similar problem, difficulty from others, or difficulty from the world outside, at least for a moment, it is possible that you may stay outside all this and start thinking why it is happening like this. That you may suddenly think about it. It will come to you. So, then you will start analyzing that this difficulty that is coming to me, Krishna is saying like this in the Bhagavad Gita, and it is not going to get better, it is going to get worse, actually. Say, I have a problem with somebody, or somebody is giving me trouble, I'm not going to worry about it a lot, because it's pointless, like Krishna is saying here. That's the most important point there. Atma agrahana nirbhadam pashya vaigalpigam brahmam. I can't explain more than these things, because we have spoken about these words in detail before, and somehow or the other, it hasn't gone in. It hasn't gone in. And when we needed that strength inside to deal with that situation, we couldn't remember what Krishna said. Instead, what happened? I listened to my mind, what the mind told me to do. And we react in that way to the world outside. And that's not good. That means that why does that happen, as I mentioned before, that bhakti is not in the heart. If there is bhakti towards, this is called bhakti. Bhakti does not mean all the rituals what you do at the temple or at the home, whatever it may be. Rituals are only to supplement these things. But to get this acceptance of Krishna's knowledge in the Bhagavadam inside us, and to reflect us when we need that help, when the world is treating us badly, when there is problems from the world coming to us from different people, sources, family members or from friends and society, in all those situations, the only hope we have is Krishna's words, nothing else. Alpa agrahana nirbhadam pashya vaigalpigam brahmam. You can't say anything more than that. So, if it is in that situation, that problems will come. And at this point, this is the problem. Tomorrow there will be some other problem waiting there. So, if you see that you will come to understand that what Krishna has said, and if you have taken that on board, then actually you have made a spiritual advancement if you are able to accept what Krishna has spoken. If you have not accepted what Krishna has spoken, instead, if you dealt with your mind, actually Krishna is saying that Pashya Vaigalpigam Brahmam, you have fallen into that Vigalpam on Brahmam, the illusion that's coming from that. So every word in the Bhagavatam is so important, particularly this knowledge what Krishna has given to Uddhava. And also he is saying here that it is not possible, Krishna is saying, I cannot change the people. To change the people in this world is not possible. To change and turn them against this and change their nature, that is not possible. That is not possible. Why? Because this is Bhuta Bhautika Prakriti. Prakriti is made of five material elements and five material elements, five Bhuta Bhautika. That Bhuta Bhautika Prakriti I can't do, that is in material nature's control. Many, many people throughout the history had come to change the world. They couldn't change it. They couldn't change it. So, and that is where Bhikshu said this. What is the nature of Bhuta Bhautika Prakriti? That is also an important thing. He gave that example there in the Bhagavatam, the Bhikshu's best example. It may look simple, that example, but if you have given time to think about that example, then you will know that Bhikshu's realization is so good that you can see. 51st verse in the Ekadasha Skandam 23rd chapter. Janastu hedu sukha dukha yoschel kim atmanascha atraha bhauma yostal jihvam kojil samdashadi swadadbhi tadvedanayam kutamaya kapyel. Kutamaya kapyel. Janastu hedu sukha dukha bho sukha dukha yoschel. I am thinking, Bhikshu is saying, people in the world are responsible for my happiness and distress. Janastu hedu sukha dukha yoschel. People are responsible for my happiness and distress. Kim atmanaschatra na bhauma yostal. He is saying that, kim atmanaschatra bhauma yostat. That atmanaschatra, when I have not identified with who I am, what will happen? Jihvam kojal samdashadi sodadbhi tadvedanayam kutamaya kupyel. In my mouth, there is the tongue and there is the teeth. Both are mine. They fought each other. Isn't it? When an opportunity came, the teeth gave a good bite on the tongue. Now what will I do? What can I do? I'm sure it has happened to everybody, isn't it? Yeah. Don't take it in a simple way. Try to understand the problem. That my tongue was bitten by my teeth. Who should I complain to? Bhikshu is asking. Whom can I complain to? My tongue is bitten by my teeth. If I take the side of the teeth and cut the tongue off, I won't be eating tomorrow. If I pull the teeth off to help the tongue, to please the tongue, then what will happen? I can't eat again. I need both. That's what he's saying here. Jihvam kojil samdashadi swadadbhi tadvedanayam kutamaya kapyel. That I am under the control of all these people. Which one? The tongue, the teeth, all of them. And I want to come out of that. What am I supposed to do? That's what the question is. What am I supposed to do? So that's what he's saying here. Janastu hedu sukha dukha yoschel. So, whom do I blame when the tongue is bitten by the teeth, isn't it? So, so dukkasya hedu jana dukha. So in this way, in this world, when somebody is giving us trouble, the only problem is, solution is to cut out of the world. Getting out of the world does not mean that to go and commit suicide. That's not the way to get out of the world. Getting out of the world means that to realize who I am, I have nothing to do with this world. That realization, when it gets stronger inside, that is what Krishna is saying there. Atma agrahana nirbhadam pashya vaikalpikam bhramam. That till we realize the self, all these problems will be there in this world. They will not go away. And it is impossible for us to insist that everything should happen the way we want it. It wouldn't happen. Some people will be favorable, some people will be very unfavorable also. That if it becomes favorable, fine, that's okay, you accept it. But if it becomes unfavorable, then also you shouldn't worry about it. Alma agrahana nirbhadam, pasya vaikalpikam brahmam. All you can do, Krishna is saying in that is Krishna's point there to Uddhava. Uddhava, this bhikshu found this out from the very beginning. He found it out. As soon as he realized that, he threw all his money away. He didn't want to know anything about that in this world. That is realization. This is why, how did that happen? Because of inward looking nature. An external looking nature will never come to this conclusion. Because of that bhikshu's inward looking nature, he realized this. Spiritual life is all inward looking, not outward looking. Outward looking is nothing to do with spiritual life. That is another pasya vaigalpikam brahmam, as Krishna is saying there. So that important point, just wanted to mention here, because these things are forgetting all the time. We are forgetting. So, thought it would be nice to remember this once in a way, whenever we forget it. Perhaps it may help. Now, we'll go back to where we stopped before. Certain things, unless it is repeated again and again, it will not go in. And it will not be there to help us when we need it, isn't it? Because when we have a difficult situation sometimes with the world, when we deal with this world, if this knowledge has not come to our help, then what's the use? What's the use of all these things? You're spending time and reading this, trying to understand this. So Krishna's point is like that. So, let us look at Srimad Bhagavatam, where we have been talking about it. One important thing, and just because we are going away to Guruvayur, I thought perhaps it will be worthwhile saying a few things before we go there, because perhaps these things will develop some understanding of why the background of the temple. Many of the things are known to you, it's already on the website, many things. But there are certain things which will make you realize that when spiritual life existed very strongly in the society, how the people had taken advantage of the shastrams and association of the devotees, and particularly how they related with Krishna. This is more important. For example, there are many, many temples, and among them, that temples are known due to devotees, not due to the deities. Great devotees who had gone there, who lived there, and they glorified the deities there. And that's how temples have become popular. You can see Alwars, Nayanmars, and similarly in many, many places, great acharyas, where they glorified the deities, those temples have become popular. Popular, and it is due to their prayers that those temples survived in this world, in spite of the onslaught of all these different kinds of civilizations that's coming in this modern world. Isn't it? How did they survive all these thousands and thousands of years in spite of all the bombardment from various cultures and philosophies in this world? Some people say we don't need any temple, destroy everything against our philosophy, so kill them all, destroy them all. They all done all that, but in spite of that, many, many temples survived through a very, very long period of time in this world due to these devotees. The devotees who lived in these temples and what they prayed to Krishna at the time when they were present in this world. So, Guruvayur became famous due to Narayaniyam. Narayaniyam made Guruvayur famous. Guruvayur is a Vishnu temple. Deity is Vishnu form. But nowhere anybody knows about that. Nobody says it's a Vishnu temple, it's a Krishna temple. It's called as a Krishna temple. And there is a reason behind it. It didn't happen like that. Even though Vishnu formed deity, addressed as Krishna all the time. Shri Krishna temple in Guruvayur. So, in this temple, about 500 years roughly, Melpathur wrote, compiled Narayaniyam in staying in Guruvayur. We have other temples like Padmanabhaswami temple in Thiruvananthapuram and Shabarimala also. Famous temples, and millions of devotees goes to these temples. Particularly, Shabarimala has been like that for many, many years. But Padmanabhaswami temple also has increased now, the people who go there. But somehow or the other, and devotees had been there. Many devotees, like Vilumangalam, spend a long time in Padmanabhaswami temple. Kulashekara Alvar spend a long time in Padmanabhaswami temple. So, similarly, here, we have an opportunity to remember the historical background and the connection between Melpathur and Krishna. Connection between Melpathur and Krishna. It's one of the most interesting stories, but stories in the sense that you won't find them in the websites or in the books even written very precisely. That is why if you, those who have got familiarized themselves with Narayaniyam, they will start understanding it better. So, to get an opportunity to remember Krishna in that way, like we say this verse, Pidambaram Karavirajita Chakrashangam Kaumodagi Sarasijam Karuna Samudram Radha Sahayamadi Sundaramandahasam Vadalayeshamanisham Hridibhavayami. This verse was written in relationship with Krishna in Guruvayur by a great devotee, and in the Narayaniyam also you will see certain references to Krishna. Namranam Sannidhate, that Melpathur, when he was speaking to Krishna, the whole Narayaniyam is called Baby Bhagavatam. Baby Bhagavatam means 18,000 verses. Melpathur managed to summarize this in 1,036 verses. That is what Narayaniyam is. 1,036 verses. Giving more importance to Krishna's pastimes and the 10th canto in the Bhagavatam. So, while remembering this, first thing is that what was that special relationship Melpathur had with Krishna? What was that special relationship Melpathur had with Krishna? What actually inspired Melpathur to write Narayaniyam? How did that happen to write Narayaniyam? It's all very interesting part of the story. So, it is important that when we go back a little bit in the times, today what you see in those temples is a different situation, in the sense that with the facility to travel a lot, people have got now buses, cars, airplanes and taxis and everything. All the temples are flooded with people. But it was not the situation few hundred years ago. What 100 years ago? Even I could remember 60 years back, Guruvayur didn't have this amount of people what you find today. Hardly you will find 20, 30 people in the temple. And there were those who were present there, they had completely devoted in their... Nowadays it is the queue system, isn't it? Hardly you get 2 seconds before that you are pushed out from there. So anyway, it is always the background is more important, how this situation developed into the way it is today. So it is important that when we remember Krishna in Guruvayur, it is important Krishna wants us to repeat this message, that it is only due to Krishna's mercy that we are able to discuss these things. In spiritual life it is like that. If you plan things, it won't happen. But if Krishna allows you to do that, it will happen. That's the way spiritual life is, always. You can try your best to plan things, but something else will happen in life, everything will get upset. Nothing will happen. But if you have not planned, if you have taken Krishna's shelter, and Krishna wants that this to be spoken all the time. When we talk about Narayaniyam and Krishna, Krishna insists that it should be spoken. There should be no hesitation at all. That it is only through Krishna's mercy that we get an opportunity to go to have an experience of all these things, what is spoken in the Bhagavatam, Narayaniyam and other literature. So that is the reason why I have to keep repeating this. Because sometimes what happens is, we make some different plans to engage in spiritual life, it does not happen. And that is the time you realize that Krishna has not given the permission to do so. Krishna did not give the permission to do so. You will realize it at that time. But when it happens, when you get an opportunity, then it has to be spoken. That if Krishna allows these things to happen, it will happen. Otherwise, it will not happen. Inside the mind is saying something different. Why all these things? Why waste time? I can have my own spiritual life. Why shouldn't I do this way? Why shouldn't I do that way? You can do all that, but if you have an attitude in that way towards Krishna consciousness, it is not always possible. You will see over a period of time that it is only due to Krishna's permission, when Krishna allows you to happen, that you will get these realizations from the Bhagavatam and you will get that experience of Krishna consciousness, get that salsangam, get the association of those devotees who are advanced in spiritual life, who have the higher understanding of spiritual life. That association, you will experience it. Otherwise, even if you are in their presence, you won't know it. Only when Krishna allows you to have it, you will have it. When you meet up those personalities. And this is the reason why it has to be spoken openly, without any hesitation, that without Krishna's grace, it is not possible. It is not possible. Now, about Srimad Bhagavatam, the glories of Bhagavatam is spoken. Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, and the glories of Bhagavatam he wrote in other books also. Is it not? In Padmapuranam, there is glories of Srimad Bhagavatam for six chapters. He has written that glories of Srimad Bhagavatam in Padmapuranam. In Skandapuranam also, Vedavyasa Maharshi glorified Bhagavatam. In Skandapuranam also, Vedavyasa Maharshi glorified Bhagavatam. So normally, before we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we refer to these glorifications often, either from the Padmapuranam or from the Skandapuranam. Either of these Puranams, glorifications are read and they are spoken before entering to Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, with Sri Narayaniyam, there is no glorifications written anywhere. In fact, Melpathur, who wrote Narayaniyam, he could have written a few verses about Narayaniyam in his other books. He wrote many other books as well. Prakriya Sarvasam is a famous book on the grammar. He was such a great scholar that he could write so many famous books. So Prakriya Sarvasam is another book where he could have spoken a few verses about Narayaniyam in that book. But he didn't do so. And he could have done that if he wanted. Things would have been a lot more easier for those who are speaking about Narayaniyam. That is, the glorification of Narayaniyam is in Narayaniyam itself. It's not that you will know how. The example is given like this, that for example, sugar or sugar candy, these things, if you keep it in a particular place, you don't have to invite the ants to come. The ants will come on their own, uninvited, they will come. They'll come to know that it's there and they'll get to know that. Similarly, whether Melpathur, when he wrote Narayaniyam, he thought like that, we don't know, whatever it may be, because in the Narayaniyam, in the final last verses, the very last verse in the Narayaniyam, when he handed over Narayaniyam to Krishna, and there was a conversation which is there between Melpathur and Krishna. Melpathur says to Krishna that, I don't know your glories, who you are. I don't know you. Nobody knows Krishna, isn't it? Who understands Krishna in this world? So, but, not knowing your glories, I have written some things about you. Ajñātvā te mahatvam yadiha nigadidam. Ajñātvā te mahatvam yadiha nigadidam. That without knowing your mahatvam, greatness, glories, I have written yadiha nigadidam. Therefore, Vishwanatha Kshamedaha. Vishwanatha, or Lord of the Universe, please forgive me for what I have done. Great, Vilvamangalam has done this, Ajari Swamiji has done this, all of them have done this. Not knowing Krishna's greatness. Krishna's greatness, who can understand here? Nobody can understand. Krishna himself says that. That glories of Krishna is so difficult to understand. Ajñātvā tu emahatvam yadiha nigadidam Vishwanatha kshamedam stotram chaidal sahasrotram adigadaram twal prasadaya bhuyal. That I have compiled this Narayaniyam over 1,000 verses, stotram sahasrotra adigadaram twal prasadaya bhuyal. Twal prasadaya bhuyal. Let this please you. Vilvamangalam said exactly the same thing to Krishna. Twal prasadaya bhuyal. After writing Krishna Karnamrutam, this is exactly the same way Vilvamangalam said to Krishna. The same way Melpathur has also said to Krishna that I have compiled this Narayaniyam, Vishwanatha Kshamedha. Please forgive me for what I have written. Stotram chaidal sahasrotaram adigadaram twal prasadaya bhuyal. Let this please you, whichever way I have compiled this. Then, Dvedha Narayaniyam Dijagula Janusham Stutyadam Varnanena Speedam Leelavadarehi Idamiha Gurudam Ayurarogya Saukhyam. That, in the conversation between, the book was written by Bhattatri's name, Melpathur's name was Narayana. When he handed over the book to Krishna, Krishna asked him, what's the name of this book? Melpathur said, I have not put the name to this book yet. Krishna says to him, shall I put the name to it? Melpathur said, fine. Krishna has actually named the book. Why did he say that? The book is about me, isn't it? Who is me? Narayana. And it was written by Narayana, Melpathur. So, book was written about Narayana, by Narayana. Krishna said, if I put the name as Narayaniyam, will that be okay? Melpathur said, fine. That is how this name, Narayaniyam, had come. Dveda, Dveda Narayaniyam, Dijagula Janusham Stutyadam Varnanena Speedam Leelavadarehi Idamiha Kurudam Ayur Arogya Saukhyam. That is how Narayaniyam finishes there. At that time, when he handed over that book to Krishna, Twal prasadaya bhuyal, let this please you. It was this words from Krishna, from Melpathur. So, while he was presenting, even though Mahavishnu formed the deity is there, when Melpathur presented the book, the way Vishnu form appeared in front of Melpathur was Krishna with the flute in the hand. Murali Gani Rasigan. That means Krishna, with the flute in the hand, as a little boy, Krishna accepted this book from Melpathur. So, when he handed over this book to Krishna, that Krishna was playing the flute at that time, and without thinking that Krishna was playing the flute, Krishna suddenly stopped the flute and taken the book from Melpathur. And it was at that time that Melpathur handed over the book and paid his obeisances to Krishna.
Ajñātvā te mahatvam yadiha nigadidam viśvanādha kṣameda stotram jaidal sahasrottaram adhiyadaram tul prasādāya bhūyāl dvedhā nārāyaniyam yadukula janushām stutyadām varnanena spīdam lilāvatāreihi idamiha kurudām āyurārogya saukhyam.
So, it was at that time, what Krishna has done, we don't know, but he accepted the book. And that is where that this end of this Narayaniyam was completed at that moment, and Krishna accepted the book from Melpathur. So, there is a history behind this. There is a history behind this. Krishna was looking forward to a stotram like this from a great personality. There is a reason behind all. There are so many things which we are not conscious of while we read this literature. Krishna had a desire. Krishna present in Guru Vayura as a little boy, 4 years old boy. That is how he is worshipped there at the temple. So, that speciality. And you can see all these things in the Narayaniyam itself, when you read through Narayaniyam, that here, generally when in the Bhagavatam if you look, you will see in so many places this. First time when they see Krishna, there is a description of Krishna's form, is it not? It's a description of Krishna's form. Like when Krishna appeared in the world first time, Shukha Brahmarshi says, the form first. Tamal budam balagamam bujekshanam chadurbujam shankagada yudhayudam shrivalsalakshmam galashobhigaustubam pidambaram sandrabayodasaubhagam maharhavaiduryakirida kundalam dushaparishvakta sahasrakundalam uddhamakanjangadakanganadibir virojamanam vasudevamaikshada. This is the form. First, you describe the form of Krishna. First, Krishna's form. How they saw Krishna. How they saw Krishna. Same thing with Dhruva Maharaj also. When he saw Krishna. Same thing in the Bhagavatam, you will see Narasimha Murthy seeing Narasimha. In different places in the Bhagavatam, you will find, first you see the form and you will describe the form. How you saw the form. And then afterwards, you will talk about Krishna later. That is the normal sequence. Normal sequence is like that. In the Narayaniyam, you will find different. Narayaniyam will find different. The whole of first chapter is talking about Krishna. And then in the second chapter, talking about the form. Right, the opposite way. That is the opposite way. That's why if you look into Narayaniyam, you will see the first chapter. Every day, Melpathur wrote 10 verses. Sandranandavabhodalpakamanupamidam kaladeshavadibhyam narmuktam nityamuktam nigamashada sahasrena narbhasyamanam aspashtam drishtamatre punar uripurushartalmagam brahmadatvam tatāval bhadi sakshal guru pavanapure handabhagyam jananam. This is the first verse in the Narayaniyam. So, beginning with that verse, the whole 10 verses is talking about Krishna, not the way in other places where you find the opposite way. So, the reason for that is that in the way that Melpathur had a very close relationship with Krishna while compiling Narayaniyam, due to that experience, Melpathur studied Krishna well. Some great devotees say Melpathur was an incarnation of Balaram. There's also other things related to that, but that is a historical, those who want to do research in that way, they can go in that direction. That's another thing. But whatever it may be, Melpathur had a very special access to Krishna while he was writing this Narayaniyam, and it took 100 days for him to write Narayaniyam. And this 100 days close association with Krishna has taught Melpathur, which he thought is more important than the form itself, than the form itself. So, and plus, when Melpathur, Krishna appeared in front of Melpathur on the day, final day, when the book was completed, and he handed over the book, at that time, he did not appear in the way it was written in the Narayaniyam in the beginning. In the beginning, in the second chapter, while discussing the form of Krishna, it is the Vishnu form that is spoken there. Surya spardhigiridam urdhvadilakam prolbhasibhalandaram karunyakulanetram ardrahasidollasam sunasapunam gandodhyanmakaravakundalayugam kandhojjalal kaustubam twadrubam vanamalyam harapadalam shrivalsadipram bhaje. That's the beginning of the second chapter. So, in the second chapter, when Melpathur compiled and spoken about the form of Krishna, that form was spoken about the Vishnu form. It was spoken from the Vishnu form. But when he handed over the book at the end of Narayaniyam, when he handed over the book to Krishna, it was Krishna playing the flute who appeared in front of Melpathur. So, Krishna has been present in the temple as a little boy, 3-4 years old. And Krishna also has, at that age, has his own nature. Like a 3-4-year-old child has a certain nature. That nature Krishna also had at that time. So, and children has different desires, is it not? When they are children, they have a lot of, all kinds of desires they have. So, one thing is that when they see something nice, something good, they also want to have it. They want to have that. That's a childish nature, and every children has it. Rarely you will find children free from that problem. That most of the children, 3-4 years old, when they see something nice, they want to have it. That's the simple nature. So, so Krishna present like that, in the temple, he is present there. Only thing is that we see the deity form. But great devotees, they see Krishna actually present there. Vilumangalam, Melpathur and Pundanam and many others, they had directly seen Krishna in that form in the temple. And therefore, they also noticed that if you start thinking Krishna is only in the deity room, there is no other greater mistake than that. Krishna is present everywhere in the temple. So, Vilumangalam observed him in so many different places inside the temple. Not only inside the temple room, outside the temple. In many places, Vilumangalam had the access and seen Krishna in many instances. Melpathur has seen, similarly Pundanam also. So many things. So, places where different prasadam is cooked, Krishna was present there. Where elephants were tied down, Krishna was present there. So, in different locations, they have noticed Krishna's presence at different times. So, Krishna also used to run around in the temple at different times. So, in the temple, you will see there, that is the temple of Sri Parvati there. Not far from the main deity room. Outside the temple, Sri Parvati facing the opposite way. Sri Parvati underneath the tree, the deity is underneath the tree. And they have a festival in that temple. In Sri Parvati's temple, they have a festival every year. She is material nature, Prakriti, isn't it? Durga Devi. In the festival, they had a system which still exists, that her form, in its most aggressive way, is drawn with color powder on the floor. That system existed. They used the rice powder, charcoal powder, turmeric, and kumkuma powder, and all that, different colors. And they make the form of this Devi, Devi's form on the floor, making a picture of that. And it is a particularly frightening form. Like if you take our fifth canto, the first First part, isn't it? No, not first part. Where Rahugana Bharata Samvadam comes, where Bhadragali appears. You remember that she is dancing there with eight hands. Who? Devi. Bhadragali is dancing with eight hands. She is holding the what is called the skull in the hands, sword in the hand, cutting the head of the different pujaris or assistant pujaris who are present in the Kali temple, cutting their heads off and holding them all in different hands and dancing with that. Particularly very frightening form. And this is the form they draw that on the floor of Devi's form, what they draw on the floor. You can notice that if you look into fifth canto, it is particularly when that canto was released first time, people were in shock seeing that Bhadragali form. It is that form which appeared in front of Jadabharata. Remember, they tried to make the sacrifice of with Jadabharata's head. This happened in the famous Kali temple in Kolkata, Dakshineshwar. That's where this incident happened, what is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So Bhadragali form, with eight-handed form, eight hands, and with different weapons. And similarly, a same form manifested when Kamsa tried to kill her. When she went into the sky, she had eight hands at that time. And these eight hands had weapons in the hands. And Bhadragali, when she is dancing, she carries the skull of the different people she has killed. And there is also in one pot, the blood is being poured into it. After killing them, the blood being poured into it. So, with this picture, generally drawn in front of the deity on the floor, this picture is drawn by certain specialized artists, for the pleasure of the devotees who come there to see that picture of Devi. And children were there, present there, who were looking at it. A group of small children were present there, and they were watching this picture, this form that they have drawn on the floor. Krishna was standing with them. Krishna was also standing with them. Krishna is looking at their faces. They can't see Krishna. Krishna can see them. So Krishna is looking at them, and Krishna is thinking, why are they not frightened seeing this form? The children are making comments to each other. They're all same age group, 4 or 5 years old, like that. So they're all commenting to each other about that, the way they had been drawn, and that fearful face, which is very much frightening, which even adults find it frightening when you see that fifth canto book, the color outside picture. So Krishna is looking at them, and Krishna is studying their reactions by seeing this form that's been drawn on the floor. It was at that time, one devotee has bathed in the tank and came to see Devi there, Sri Parvati's form deity. And he stood there and he paid and he recited some verses glorifying Sri Parvati there. So when Krishna was busy with all the other children, suddenly Krishna heard this devotee who stood there little away, and with his closed eyes he was reciting these two verses and glorifying Sri Parvati there. Famous verses. And when this devotee recited these verses, after that he paid his obeisances to Devi, and then he quietly walked into the main temple to see Krishna there. So it was the custom then, them days, it was the custom. Before you go to see Krishna, you get the clearance from Maya, so that she does not disturb you while you go to see Krishna. This is Maya Devi, isn't it? Standing there, Prakriti, material nature. So when Krishna heard those verses, which was being recited by this devotee, Krishna felt that where are these verses coming from? Where are these verses? Little boy, 5 year old, Nobody recites any such verses about me, Krishna says. Nobody recites any such verses. Those days people used to come and they used to recite some verses glorifying Krishna, simple verses. And it was not in any way, they were prayers to Krishna to protect them in their life and looking for whatever problems they had. So, simple verses they used to recite and walk away from there. Krishna says, I never had any devotee glorifying me in the way they have come and glorified Sri Parvati there. So, that devotee left. Krishna straightaway went to Sri Parvati. When Krishna went to Sri Parvati, Parvati Devi immediately got shocked. Because normally Krishna doesn't come like that there to see her. Once a year, during the festival time, Krishna comes to see her. So this was the first time when Krishna had come in this way. So immediately she got a shock and she suddenly woke up from her state and you could see that she was a little bit perplexed by Krishna's presence like that. So he says to her, Krishna says to her that there was a devotee here a few minutes back. Sri Parvati said yes. That while he was paying his obeisances to you, he spoke a couple of verses, didn't he? She said yes. And those two very fantastic verses they are. Krishna says to Sri Parvati and says to her, So Krishna says to Sri Parvati that where did he get these verses from? So Sri Parvati felt a little happy. Somebody says to you that that these verses are very nice, what he has recited. And so he says, and that verses only talk about one thing, about the beauty of Sri Parvati's beauty. Sri Parvati's beauty, that's what's spoken in those two verses, nothing else. And it is spoken in such a language that anyone who reads it is immediately affected by the poetic skills and the beauty as though it is present right in front of you. That form is presented so beautifully in front of you when you see that every part of Sri Parvati's body is spoken and compared to in such a way that immediately you are affected by that. So naturally Sri Parvati felt happy because it's spoken about her beauty and that too spoken in such a poetic language. So that beauty, and in there it also mentioned that she has, while traveling with Lord Shiva on the bull, like you will see in the 12th canto, Markandeya's story, if you remember that, we have to study Bhagavatam in entirety. Do not go and pick up one part and say, this is all Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is an ocean. It is giving you all kinds of understanding of the truth, what is in the Vedic literature. Sri Parvati is traveling with Lord Shiva on the bull. While traveling, underneath the tree, there was a boy lying, 1 or 2 years old, crying for milk. Sri Parvati told Shiva to stop. She got down, took the baby and fed her with the breast milk. This part is also spoken in that verse. Comes a small part of that. And that thing, that milk that the baby has drunk, that child in later times became a very, very famous poet. Very, very famous poet. You can understand why. After all, the milk from Sri Parvati means it's the prasadam, what Ganesh and Kartikeya has drunk. It's their prasadam, that the milk that the baby had. Is it not? Like you remember, Krishna's, Devaki Devi's prasadam was taken by the 6 children. And they all went back to the spiritual world. That was the only reason why Krishna went and brought them back from Mahabali's planet. The 6 children who were killed by Kamsa. And they were in the Suthalam with Mahabali. Krishna went and brought them back. And thinking that if they had the breast milk from Devaki Devi, that will give them an opportunity to take Krishna Prasadam, and that will eventually send them back to the spiritual world. They went back to the spiritual world. This story is there in the Bhagavatam. Similarly, here Sri Parvati's breast milk means what? It is the milk that has been taken by Ganesh and Kartikeya before, Subramanya Swami before. So that prasadam, they had that, and this person who was deaf and dumb, he became the most famous personality as a poet at that time, who was called as Mooka Kavi, who comes as later. Now, those verses, what he has written, Mooka Panchashati, is 500 verses he wrote, the famous, glorifying Kamakshi in Kanchipuram. That verses came from him later. So, one of those verses from that Mooka Kavi's book, Mooka Panchashati, other verse from Saundarya Lahari, Acharya Swamiji has written. These were the two verses that was recited by this devotee who came and glorified Sri Parvati there. Both verses were absolutely amazing verses in the Sanskrit literature. And this devotee paid his obeisances and he left. He left. So Krishna is saying to Sri Parvati, who wrote these two verses, he said. Sri Parvati said that that was written by some great devotees in the past. Krishna says, bring them here right now. They should come here. When Krishna said that, Sri Parvati smiled. Parvati says to her, they all left this world long ago. Acharya Swamiji has gone into Mahasamadhi at least 1,000 years before this incident. This when it happened with Krishna and Sri Parvati. Mooka Kavi has also left long ago. Neither of them are there. It's only then Krishna realized that Acharya Swamiji has gone. He wasn't there. In fact, Acharya Swamiji established the process of deity worship in the temple. In them days. While 41 days he stayed at the temple and established a system of deity worship which even today has not changed. Not much has influence from outside. This is in this world today, you can imagine how things have changed. You go to many, many big temples and see, observe yourself, how the modern civilization and people's nature, everything is affecting the deity worship even. Those who are coming to the temple, those who are engaged in the service at the temple, temple management, all of them have a big contribution in altering the system that's been set up by the great personalities before. But somehow or the other, only in Guruvayur, even today, the process of deity worship is untouched. They are not able to do much with that. Somehow or the other, it is reluctant to get inside the changes, what they want to institute. There are so many things which it is difficult to explain in one class, what happens inside the deity room in the process of deity worship. So that deity worship, when Acharya Swamiji instituted there at his time, he prayed to Krishna at that time, this should stay like this in this temple forever. That was his prayer. Because the strength of that prayer, Krishna has agreed to keep it like that, and therefore it still continued to be like that in the way it was established. Only inside the deity room, not outside. Outside things are changing. It's getting affected. Many things outside are changing because you can imagine when number of people who comes in and too many visitors and devotees and also the changes in the society, what's happening. At the time when these things were executed, Varnashrama Dharmam existed. So it had its own effect on the society. Now, if you are not allowed to speak about it, Varnam or Ashramam, because you will be put into difficulties, isn't it? It's like, they say it's like a racism. If you talk about it, you could be in problem. So, same thing. So, society has changed so much that those changes, what has happened in the society, is still reluctant to get inside and change there. It's perhaps due to that power of the prayers from Acharya Swamiji to Krishna at that time. So, Krishna knows that the devotees who came to him, they used to recite verses, simple verses, glorifying Krishna, paid their obeisances and used to go away. But these two verses got into Krishna's head too much. Krishna couldn't resist. He says to Sri Parvati Devi, bring Shankaracharya back here, he said to Krishna. Sri Parvati Devi, seeing Krishna is a little boy, 3-4 years old, seeing the child's persistence, Krishna, Parvati smiled. Sri Parvati smiled. That is not, I can't even do that, she said. Because normally, Sri Parvati is called what? Maya, isn't it? Akhadita Gadana Padiyasi Maya, which means, what is not possible, she is capable of doing that. Even she is saying, I can't do it. He has gone 800,000 years back, he has left this world. The second verse that has come from Saundari Lahari. Saundari Lahari is a famous verse. Ajani Swamiji wrote after returning from Kailasa. From Lord Shiva's, Sri Parvati gave it to him in Kailasam, which he compiled it later. There's whole history behind Saundari Lahari. If you read that, you can see that written there in the websites also. So, here, what happened was, Acharya Swamiji wrote those verses and explaining the beauty of Sri Parvati in those verses. Same thing with Mooga Kavi also. When Acharya Swamiji wrote about Mooga Kavi, this was mentioned in the Dravida Shishu mentions that in those verses. Anyway, these two verses has hit Krishna so much, so strongly, that he says to Sri Parvati, how do I have them now? I want some verses written about me in the same way. This was Krishna's words to him. So, so Sri Parvati says to Krishna that the book is called Saundarya Lahari. You can see the beauty of the word itself. Saundarya Lahari. Saundarya Lahari means, Saundarya means beauty. Lahari means the intoxication of that beauty. You can say beauty intoxicated. Intoxication of the beauty. So, Saundarya Lahari. So, Sri Parvati says to Krishna that these verses were written by Acharya Swamiji and it is not possible to bring him back now. Only then Krishna remembered all these things when Acharya Swamiji came and established the deity worship and arranged this setup, everything. And he has gone. So, then Krishna says to Sri Parvati, is there anybody else who could write like that? That was the next question to Sri Parvati. Is there anybody else who could write like that? Sri Parvati says, there is one person in a village called Melpattur. He lives there. He is capable, very capable, and he had all the qualities, knowledge, and the qualities to write in the similar way. And if he is lacking anything, if he comes here, we can give it to him, whatever he needs. After all, they are the controllers. They can do anything. They can make a deaf and dumb man to become the greatest poet. If you remember the history of Kalidas, Kalidas story, if you know, he was a very dumb person, isn't it? When Bhadragali wrote on her tongue, it is after that he became the greatest poet in Sanskrit language. Is it not? Valmiki was what? He was a robber, isn't he? Dacoit and a robber he was. And Sri Narada Maharshi blessed him, and from that came the famous Ramayana. So, great personalities, when they were blessed by the great souls, Sri Parvati or Saraswati Devi, due to their mercy that they became the greatest later. To show that when mercy comes, nothing can stop. All your other weaknesses are all gone with that. So, Sri Parvati says to Krishna that there is one Melpattur, a personality who is capable of writing such a poetry and we can give him whatever he wants. Krishna says to Parvati, bring him here straight away. He says, child, isn't it? 3-4 years old, doesn't have much that thinking power in depth. So Krishna is little boy. He is saying to her, I need him here right now. Krishna says to Sri Parvati. And so Sri Parvati says to Krishna, this writing poetry is not like that. that today I come and tomorrow you start writing and by afternoon 1 or 2 hours you should complete and give it back to me. Nobody can write poetry like that. If you look into great poets' compilation, you will notice that they have taken a long, long time to compile their great literature, what they have compiled. Then, so, when Kalidas wrote Shakuntalam, he took his famous book, Shakuntalam, he took 7 years for him to write. He wrote and rewrote and rewrote and rewrote so many times, he had to change it. And at that time, you will see in Kalidas' famous poetry, the Shakuntalam, why he became so famous, because of all these things. Then, not only that's one thing. Secondly, that means it requires time to write the poetry. Famous poets are all like that. So, here, there's another thing to it. Great poetry had come from distress in life. That's another side to it. All great poets, they have written and it has come from distress in their life. For example, you can see Ramayanam. Valmiki Ramayanam, isn't it? That, how did that happen? Two birds were sitting on the tree. A hunter came and shot one bird and fell. He died and fell. The other bird, he saw suffering. When one bird fell, there were a couple. One was shot dead and the other bird was badly affected by that. Ma nishada pratishtatvam agamashashwari samaham. That ma nishada pratishtatvam agamashashwari samaham. That Valmiki Maharshi's heart started beating. He was a hunter. When he saw this happening and seeing the misery of the other bird, he started saying this. That is why in that verse you will see Shogam Shlogatvama Gadaha. Shogam means his distress. Shogam came in the form of a verse which is called Shlogam. Shogam Shlogatvama Gadaha. His misery, his distress, what he felt inside came in the form of a verse. And that is how Ramayanam begins. Ramayanam begins like that. So at that time, Sri Parvati says this to Krishna, that first of all, Melpathur is in a happy state at the moment. He is 27 years old in his life, full of youth, energy. He has no particularly any distress. He is in a very healthy state. And he is busy with his own success in life. He is enjoying. Those days success is not like today. Today success is we get a good IT job in a big company earning 50,000 or 100,000. This today's success is not. In them days success was that if you have mastered all the shastrams and if you had the opportunity to visit the assembly of the great kings who patronized them. And in their assembly, if you are able to debate in this shastram and get recognized by the king, that was considered to be the success of life. In them days, that was different times, it's different, isn't it? Nowadays, it is a completely different situation. If you make a lot of money by hook or crook, by cheating, lying, anything, whichever you like. And it's a lot of interesting things to think about. The modern civilization and the Vedic civilization, if you start analyzing it, looking at it from impartially, you will see certain very interesting features of these two different civilizations, how it varies to such an extent that we will come to that some other time. But important point here is that when Sri Parvati says this to Krishna, Krishna says, then give him distress. What's the problem? Just put him into trouble. Give him as much distress as necessary so that he comes here. All I want is he should come now and start writing my poetry about me. He says, this was the answer Krishna has given to Sri Parvati. So, this incident has happened in the temple before also. Another great personality who actually started Srimad Bhagavatam in a big scale at his times. We are talking about 500-600 years before. In his time, there were no traveling facilities like today we have. Today, Bhagavatam speakers are traveling from LA to Sydney. And but only thing is in substance, they do not have that what they had in them days. Pundanam came to Guruvayur with a great distress in his heart. And in his home, when after a long time he had a son was born. On the day when the Brahmanas had their first feeding of the rice, that day, the baby was lying in a cot, and the many ladies who had gone to bathe in the tank, they came back. Because it wasn't not bright enough, they put their wet clothes on that bed, and that covered the baby, and the baby died on that day. With that distress, Pundanam came to Krishna, to Guruvayur, and from that day he spoke Srimal Bhagavatam. He was well known throughout his Pundanam's knowledge of Bhagavatam was such. Lord Shiva in Vadakkunnatha temple in Thrissur invited him to come to speak Srimal Bhagavatam in front of him. That was his position that day. Anyway, leaving behind that, Pundanam had come to Krishna because of distress in life. All great devotees, if you see, you will see they had come to Krishna with distress. Isn't it? Melpathur also says that in the Narayaniyam. Soyam kala Krishna avadaro jayadita vibho yatra sangirtana adyehi sneham dveshanuragehi pravrtihi radule ashrame yogabedehi artim tirtha samaswam amrutapadamagum. Where he says arti. Arti means distress, material distress. When you have a lot of material distress, that's when you turn to Krishna for help. Otherwise you don't. Otherwise you are busy with all our other big plans that goes on in this world. So as he says, so Pundanam came because his baby died. A baby was born after a long period of prayers and planning, and on the 28th day also the baby left this world, and Pundanam could not bear that, and he came to Krishna for help. So when, and therefore when Pundanam wrote his famous poetry, Jnanapana and others, it was well known and well recognized later on. So when Krishna heard this from Sri Parvati, he says, so if Melpathur has got a son, let him die. Let him die. What's the problem? That's the same. So at that time Sri Parvati smiled. Why? Sri Parvati says, Melpathur is not married. The childish connections with Krishna's childish nature. So, in order to have distress in life, serious distress in life, you have to have a separation from somebody who is very close to you. Is it not? That is when you feel that distress, the maximum. When you are very close to somebody, and when there is a separation, you feel that distress, sudden separation from that. So Melpathur says to him, has he got a father or mother? Krishna says to Sri Parvati. Sri Parvati says, they have all left this world. They are not there. Either. So Krishna started thinking, now what am I supposed to say next? So who has he got then? That was the next thing. So he has got an elder brother. But particularly they have no relationship between the brother and Melpathur. They have no relationship. Whether he lives or dies, it's not going to matter very much. As far as Melpathur is concerned. So then what are we supposed to do? Krishna says to Sri Parvati. Parvati Devi says to her that he has got many teachers. Many teachers. From different people he has learned different things. He has learned Vedam from somebody, and Tarkam from somebody, Nyayam from somebody, Mimamsa from somebody. Like this, Shastram from somebody, different people, Upanishads from someone, like that. He has got many famous teachers. Among them, one particular teacher he is very strongly attached to. That is Achyuta Pusharadi. Achyuta Pusharadi is very well learned, and Melpathur is particularly attached to him because of the relationship they had in their education, in their educational process. And particularly, he is very close to him. He is very close to him. You know what Krishna says to Sri Parvati? Let him die. So what? Let Achyuta Pusharadi go so that Krishna will come here. When we say this, we laugh at it. Is it not? But you have to remember who is saying this. Who is saying this? Who said in the Bhagavad Gita? What did he say? Najayade mriyade. It is that person who is saying this. For us, we find it funny. Is it not? Why? Because if somebody dies, we feel hurt. For Krishna, there is no such feeling. That is why in Mahabharata war, after millions were butchered there, he stood and smiled there. Isn't it? We thinking, oh, he's smiling after killing all these people. But Krishna is concerned, death is not some... That is why he said in the Bhagavatam, Mrityu Atyanda Vismriti. He says, Mrityu is not a particularly something important thing to celebrate or to worry about. Mrityu Atyanda Vismriti, changing the body is another thing. It has nothing significant about it. He doesn't have any importance given to it. So he says to Sri Parvati, let Achyuta Pisharadi go. What is the problem? So, or let him have some serious problem. Sri Parvati says to Krishna, that's not possible because this Achyuta Pisharadi is a great devotee of Shiva. Shiva would not like it. There was another temple where Achyuta Pisharadi worshipped Shiva very intensely there. And Shiva has given him all the blessings. And Achyuta Pisharadi, by his nature, is in a very highest mode of goodness. Parama Sattvika nature. Full of Sattvika nature. Sattvagunam is in full in that person. Plus, due to his knowledge of the Shastram, and due to his anushtanam and worship of the deity at the temple, he has reached a very higher state of spiritual life. And therefore, to give him a problem like this is difficult. It's difficult to give like this. And it will not be very... I'll have to get permission from Shiva before I do that. This is what he said. And it should not happen to him like this, in that way. So, you have to remember the time that Krishna says to Sri Parvati, that doesn't matter, we can sort it out later. Krishna says, doesn't matter, we can sort that out later. Let Achyuta Pisharadi get sick. And this person who was in the prime of his health, Achyuta Pisharadi, and who lived a life, it's impossible for him to get a sickness like the way he got it. Because in them days, their lifestyle was different than ours. Today, if anybody gets sick, it's not at all surprising. Somebody gets sick. It's not surprising at all. Because the problems we carry in our head, and the anxiety and the stress we have built up in our own life, and the type of food we eat, and the way we live, and the way we conduct our activities, it's not surprising at all that if you are not getting sick, that is what should be surprising to us. But these personalities who lived a life of austerities, penances, simplicity, and everything, keeping a good consciousness in such a way they lived here, and for him to get sick was difficult, but he still got sick. He still got sick. It was at that time, Melpathur, he has almost finished his education, and he was in the peak of his youth, at the peak of his life, full of knowledge and highly qualified, and were able to visit great assemblies of the scholars and able to debate with well-known scholars at that time. And it was at that time this incident happened. This incident happened to Achyuta Pisharadi. So when Achyuta Pisharadi got sick, they treated him with the best medicines that was available in them days. In the traditional Ayurvedic system, what they had, they started the treatment. And nothing worked. Nothing worked for him. And them days, the news of somebody getting sick, you have to inform somebody. They were all not living very closely, 10 miles, 15 miles away. So the message reached Melpathur that his teacher is not very well, who has fallen sick, and Melpathur was concerned, very concerned about that. Very concerned about that. So apart from Melpathur, he had other disciples as well. Achyuta Pisharadi had many other disciples. So they all came together to see this teacher, Achyuta Pisharadi. You have to look back into that system. It's not like today when we say that it's all very official these days, isn't it? Oh, he's my spiritual master. And then you put a stamp on that. He's my disciple. Another stamp. It's not like that. Relationships are different. That spiritual master, there may be many, but some spiritual masters are closer to you. Somebody, you may learn from different people, because everybody was not learned in every subject. Someone was learned in the Tarkashastram. Somebody was learned in the Nyayam. Somebody was learned in the Jyotisham. Somebody was learned in the Ayurvedam. Somebody was learned in the Vedam itself, Rigvedam. Somebody was learned in the Upanishads, Vedantam. So, a serious student will go to so many different people to learn different things. To learn different things. And unlike today, they all taught at home. They didn't teach them in the university. Like the lecturer, he walks in, gives his lecture and he walks off. You can look into the internet later, you'll get everything. There's no relationship between people. It's not. The teacher and the student. They are paying me, I'm doing my job. That's it. Finished. This is the modern education system. So many things to compare. If you look at it, you will see the problems of the modern systems also. It was not the system then that they had to go to this and they had a very close relationship with the teacher who taught them these things. So in situations like that, because there were people who knew astrology very well, Jyotisham, they have a system called Prasnam. Prasnam means that famous qualified astrologers sit together and they are able to discuss and find out the reason why this has happened. Because in their view, the disciples or who are the learning from Achyuta Pisharadi, they could not believe that Achyuta Pisharadi had to get his illness like this, in a stage like that in his life. Looking at the way he lived in this world and his purity, his simplicity, his truthfulness and his knowledge and realization, and he himself was a well-known personality in the astrology, in astrology. So when the disciples came together, they discussed this issue. Why Achyuta Pisharadi had this disease? This has happened. So this prasnam is the normal situation, the way it was done. It was done in the, even Bhagavatam you will see a chapter called Prasna Vidhi. If you look into the second canto, 8th chapter, it's called Prasna Vidhi. Prasna Vidhi means that intelligent people like Parikshit Maharaj, Shuka Brahmarshi and others, they are together and Parikshit is raising certain prasnam. Prasnam means problems. Why this happens? Why it is like this? It's called Prasnam. So Prasna Vidhi chapter, you can see, I think it's the 8th chapter or so in the second canto. That Prasna Vidhi Nama Ashtamodhyaya, it says. Prasna Vidhi it is called. So Parikshit is raising the questions to Shuka Brahmarshi. Prasnam. Raising the questions. And questions are raised, and Shuka Brahmarshi is able to answer them with his knowledge behind of everything what the questions Parikshit has asked there. That Prasna Vidhi. So similarly, in Prasnam, astrological Prasnam also, the same thing happens. Astrologers sit together, well-known astrologers, and they raise the questions. Why did this happen? How do they raise the questions? After looking into the birth time of Achyuta Pisharadi and the position of the planets, and the position of the planets then, when they are discussing it, they will know the movement of the various planets and the effect that can come from the movement of those planets. These were known to them very well, unlike today. Today it's all computerized, isn't it? We think it's computerized, it's perfect, isn't it? No, it's not. It's perfect based on the persons who have practiced it with the proper upasana and nishta behind it. That was there, that is completely missing today. That's completely missing. Like in the days before, those who studied Srimad Bhagavatam, why did they study Bhagavatam? To realize the knowledge of the self and to realize Krishna. That was the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nowadays in India, if you ask some young people, there are a lot of young people who are studying Srimad Bhagavatam. If you ask them why you are studying Srimad Bhagavatam, we say, I have to give some lectures in America. That's why I'm studying Srimad Bhagavatam, to give the lectures in America. So the whole thing has, concept has completely changed. So what can we do? We can't do anything about it. So anyway, Achyuta Pisharadi's time, Melpathur's time was different. They had that upasana, nishta, anishtanam in them to such a degree, they didn't do it for propagation. They did it for realization of the self, of the goal, ultimate goal, to get free from this material existence once for all. That is why they were able to produce some of the greatest classic literature in their times. So, Melpathur even talks about Achyuta Pisharadi, saying that now that he has got sick, there is nobody to talk about your glories, says to the planets. In one of the verses he says, when Achyuta Pisharadi got sick, he says, Achyuta Pisharadi was so famous about the knowledge of the astrology, that he says, even he is not there to talk about your glories, he says to them. So, India's in his presence, in Melpathur's presence, this discussion is happening among the astrologers. So they have come to the conclusions after these discussions that Achyuta Pisharadi had some prarabdham which has come from many lifetimes before, which is still hanging on in his life. Purva janmam kritam prapam vyadhi rupena jayate. In Ashtanga Hridayam this verse comes. That if you have committed sometimes some chronic illnesses, like you can see paralysis, arthritis, or cancer, and many severe illnesses which you never able to treat and completely cure, that is due to purva janma kritam bhavam vyadhi rupena jayade. It is the reaction of those some sinful activity what has been performed in some lifetime before. It has come in the form of a disease. So, therefore, that the answer to that is, they have a system called disease cannot be taken out. It cannot be taken out. But they have ways and means by which you can take that disease out from that person and give it to somebody else. It is called karma vibhagam prayaschitam. It's called karma vibhagam prayaschitam. It was possible to do that. They had the capacity to do that. So, what they do is, when the patient is lying down on the bed, they make the form of the disease in the form of a deity. Every disease has a form. All diseases has a form. And that form is made in the form of a deity. And through various hymns, they are able to invoke the disease to move from that person who is the patient, who is suffering at the moment, take the disease out of him and move it back to this deity form. And offer this deity form to somebody else. And the person who receives it, he gets that disease eventually. It's called karma vibhagam. It's a famous system that existed in them days. Of course, nowadays we all go to the best hospital where we can get treated. And we think we know everything about this body, don't we? That's what we think. But what do we know about this body? Who understands this body? Ajarya Swamiji, in the very beginning of the Bhagavad Gita Bhashyam, he says, do you think you understand this body? That's what he is asking, the first question. It is too much ignorance about this body. What we think, we know about this body. We know nothing about this body. You will only understand that when you study Bhagavad Gita, that you don't understand anything about this body. Krishna has made it so plain and clear to us that we don't understand this body. When he talks in the 13th chapter, isn't it? That how does the body digest the food? What do we understand about that? Who is digesting the food? Who is breathing when you are sleeping? Who circulates the blood inside? So many questions. Where is the answer to all that? There is no answer. Even though science will try to say they know about it, they don't know about it. So anyway, leave that behind. Important thing here is that karma vibhaga prayaschitam was performed and Achyuta Pisharadi was lying on the bed. They decided to perform that, and at the end they have to hand over that to the person who will carry the form of that deity's form in the form of disease, which is made of gold in that deity form. The disease comes to the deity, and with that the deity, whoever receives that deity form, he gets the sickness. And this system was practiced. Why was it practiced? Because in the ancient times, when they knew that there were such problems, So, it was normally given to people who are very, very, very old. It is given to people who are very, very old. For example, suppose somebody is, say, 87, 90 years old. I am of no use to anybody in this world. Whereas a personality like Achyuta Pusharadi, if he lives in this world, the world will get a lot of benefit from that. Many, many people will be educated by him. They will have the benefit of all that. But if I die, say I'm 80, 90 years old, if I die, there's nothing much. I may suffer for some time due to that illness, and I leave this body. So they were willing to make that sacrifice. This was the system. So normally, when Karma Vivaga Prayaschitam was performed, and when they offered it to another body, another person to accept it, it was normally accepted by someone who is very, very old. They will accept it without much of a hesitation. They will say that, after all, if he lives, it is beneficial to the world. My life in this world is almost finished now. Even if I get sick and die, it doesn't matter. It's a sacrifice, he was willing to do that. So when Achyuta Pusharadi's turn came to make this move, after the Karma Vibhagam, they were looking for who is going to receive this. At that time, Melpathur came forward and said that, give it to me. He said, I will accept it. Remember, Melpathur is 27 years old. Achyuta Pusharadi knows Melpathur well. Achyuta Pusharadi is suffering heavily, lying in the bed with this illness, arthritis. And whole body is full of pain. And he says, no, don't do that. He said, don't give it to Melpathur. Melpathur didn't agree. Melpathur said, give it to me. And even without listening to Achyuta Pusharadi, Melpathur accepted that dhanam, that charity that was given in that way, and everybody left the place. Everybody left the place. Within a few days, Achyuta Pusharadi got very well, came out of this illness. And in a few weeks' time, Melpathur fell ill with the same illness. This was the type of people they were. They were capable of doing this. Capable of transmitting a disease in this way, transfer it from one body to another body through the Vedic hymns. So, Melpathur got sick and Achyuta Pusharadi got better. So, and it was at that time that Melpathur became seriously ill. Melpathur had another teacher who taught him in other subjects called Ramanuja. This Ramanuja came to know about Melpathur's illness. So Ramanuja was a witty person. He used to speak everything in a way, in a witty way. He used to talk about things in a witty way. And Ramanuja sent a message to Melpathur through another of his disciples, go to him and says to Melpathur that from tomorrow onwards you start with the fish. Start taking fish. Everything will be okay. So they are not allowed to even touch fish. And here Melpathur has been told that this message was delivered to him the next day. Without any change in the message, what Ramanuja has told the disciple had to walk many miles to come to Melpathur's village, to go and see Melpathur and deliver the message from Ramanuja, his other teacher, to Melpathur. So Melpathur got the message that teacher had sent, Ramanuja had sent this message, then from today onwards start taking the fish and start with the fish, everything will be okay, he said. So the disciple was a little bit hesitant to say this. He didn't understand it, the message properly. Melpathur knew Ramanuja's nature. When he sends a message like this, it must have some implied meaning in that. So Melpathur got the message and Melpathur straight away understood the message. The message was this, start describing Krishna's glories starting with the fish incarnation. That was actually what it meant. The message was. That's why he said, start with the fish. Malsyam, Kurmam, Varaham, Narsimham, Vamanam, like that, various incarnations which Krishna has taken. Glorify Krishna through all the incarnations. This was the message. Glorify Krishna through all the incarnations. This was the message. So when Melpathur got the message, he understood what it meant. Even though the messenger did not understand. Melpathur got the message and then he realized that this is what he has to do. So, and he told the messenger, tell Ramanuja, the teacher, that I will do that. Accordingly, he went back and told Ramanuja the same thing. So, nowadays, the Brahmin will think, oh, somebody comes and gives you a message like that. Oh, it's very nice, I can start with the fish tomorrow. And then start with some... Today's Brahmana situation is like that in this world, in many instances. That is why we are in this great difficulty today. But in them days, they had that intelligence and the capacity to understand. So today they will say it's convenient that somebody is telling us, so you can also start with the fish. They'll start with that, isn't it? So, but with Ramanuja, the interesting thing was, he will only joke with people whom he thinks that they can understand. Otherwise he won't joke. But Melpathur is someone whom he knew is very intelligent and who will understand the joke. So therefore Ramanuja sent a message in that way to him. So that means Krishna, who has taken the 10 major incarnations, Dashavataram, taking all those incarnations, taking Krishna's shelter, glorify him through the incarnations. Glorify him. So Ramanuja also wrote Mahabharatam, translated them and wrote them, and he also in his Mahabharatam, he glorifies wherever different incarnations come. He will glorify those incarnations in detail. That is the way he wrote. So, and his intention was all these the source of all these incarnations is Krishna. So, so it was with these instructions our Melpathur arrives in Guruvayur. With these instructions behind, Melpathur arrives in Guruvayur. He came and stayed there first a few days. He has nobody at home to look after. In their family, the system was that the eldest son among that family has all the right for the property. And he is the one who gets married and who runs the family life further. The other brothers, younger brothers, they have been given an option to marry or not to marry, but they will not be entitled for anything from the property. They have to mend their own ways, their own life. In them days, people lived like that. They had so little they needed, and the purpose of gold was not making a lot of money in life and to show to the world how much I have made, how many millions are in the bank. That was not the goal. So therefore, naturally, they were able to live a life like that. The system was like that. So Melpathur didn't have much to do with home anymore. He had one younger brother who was little bit considerate to him. So this happened. He was born in the year 1560. And he left his body in 1646. So somewhere, you can imagine 1587, 1588, that is the year he came to Guruvayur with this illness. His younger brother brought him there. And he told his younger brother, leave me here and you can go home. Don't have to worry about me. Reason being, they say, the younger brother was hesitant to go back. He's thinking, in your present situation, how can I leave you like this? You are so sick. The whole body is full of pain. And you can barely manage to walk. If I leave you like this, it will not be very nice. Melpathur says to him, I have come here and I have taken Krishna's shelter. From now on, whatever that has to happen, it is Krishna's plan. It's not my plan. You should go. He insisted, and this younger brother called Madhradatta, he left. He went back home. There was no one after that. And he lived there. So, after he came there, Krishna is waiting now, after talking to Sri Parvati. Krishna is thinking, Melpathur has come now. Why has he not started yet writing about me, the glories in the verses? Why has he not writing yet? So, he started thinking, it will start today, tomorrow. He's waiting. It's not happening there. So, after getting those verses, he wants to go to Sri Parvati and says to her, look at the verses, what he has written about me. And shows to her. Because after seeing those verses about Sri Parvati, Krishna was not getting sleep. That was the beauty of those verses. Krishna has been so moved by those verses. What Acharya Swamiji wrote about Sri Parvati. So that was the situation. So ultimately Krishna understood that Melpathur is ready to write, but he requires some more encouragement from inside. He has come to Grivayur and he is hanging around in the temple. He does not know what to do, how to start, what to do. Nothing is clear in his head yet. It was at that time Krishna gave him another encouragement from inside. In them days, that Pundanam was staying at the temple. He used to walk 40-45 miles away from home, comes to this temple and spend a few days there, and then he will go back after a few days. That while he was there, he would read Srimad Bhagavatam in one corner at the temple. He used to sit and read Bhagavatam then. And many listeners, those days were such that there was not a crowd like today. Today there is no space, not an inch of space there. You have to stand for 7 hours in the queue to get inside. But them days there were hardly anyone, 30-40 people in the temple maximum, if you would think. Even that was unusual. Very few people were at the temple. Pundanam was sitting there and used to read Srimad Bhagavatam. Used to read Srimad Bhagavatam in one corner. So, and he was the first person in Grivayur who took Srimad Bhagavatam very, very seriously and excited people with Bhagavatam, the knowledge of the Bhagavatam and the bhakti in the Bhagavatam. So, and he is the most well-known person. Anybody who was before that, we don't know. We don't know. But in the recorded history, he is the personality who is known to the modern world. So, his system was, when Krishna was taken in procession in the morning, after 7:30 in the morning, and Krishna is taken out in the procession and taken into the deity room, it is after that he used to begin. And right up to midday, he used to have time. That means about 4.5 hours. He used to read Srimad Bhagavatam and talk to the devotees who were present there. So, when Melpathur saw that, when Pundanam was doing this, he first thought, why should I not start reading Bhagavatam somewhere else, in the same temple, somewhere else, and start speaking Bhagavatam? But then Melpathur thought, that is not good. Because then it will create a feeling that it is a competition going on. We like to compete, isn't it? But they don't like competition. Competition is not their nature. They are so considerate that when they do some things like that, they would think twice how the others will take it, how others will reflect. So Melpathur naturally thought that if I start doing something like that, it will be undertaken by people in a different way, in the wrong way. So he decided that is not proper. That is not proper to do that. So what he decided was, I will sit there. Every morning he used to sit there. In them days, living was not a big problem. You had the temple tank to bathe. One meal was provided from the temple for everyone who is in the temple at the midday. A meal was, that was sufficient for them. There was nothing more they were expecting in life. And clothes are concerned, it was not an issue. One or two dhotis is more than enough. And somewhere to lie down. The weather was fine. It was not difficult. You didn't need the central heating and things like that. It was so comfortable. They could sleep somewhere, and they had no time for anything else except to engage in the study of the Shastram and associating with the devotees. So it was at that time that he is having severe pain in his body. He is suffering, struggling like anything. And people say that what he had was arthritis. Arthritis all over his legs and hands and in the whole body. So naturally you can imagine the pain associated with that. The nature of the arthritic pain is it comes and stays for some time and you feel sometime a little relief and then it comes back again. So he was listening to Pundanam's Bhagavatam one day. So when there Pundanam was talking about Krishna's instructions to Uddhava, that was the part that was being discussed. In there, Uddhava is asking a question to Krishna. How do I develop bhakti? This was the question. You will see that in the 14th chapter somewhere. Then, how do I develop bhakti? Remember, I mentioned this in the beginning. How, whether we have bhakti or not, how do we know? The only way to know that is, when we are dealing with the world, when the problem comes from this world, from the people outside, or from others, friends, family, society, whatever it may be, when problems come, if you are able to take shelter in Krishna's instructions, then you can say you have bhakti. Why? Because you are accepting Krishna's words. But if you reject everything what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavatam, and with your own mind, if you concoct something, that person is responsible for my problem, he is responsible for my problem, and you start thinking like that, that means Krishna's instructions you have not taken seriously, that means there is no bhakti in the heart. So, our Melpathur's case, when he is sitting, standing there and listening to Pundanam, Pundanam is saying, discussing this part in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava. And one particularly, there is one famous verse in the Bhagavatam, which became so famous later. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Yadyadishtadamam loge, yachadipriyamalpana, tatannivedayan mahyam, hadanandaya kalpade. It's a famous verse. Famous in the sense, Pundanam is explaining that verse, the way Krishna has spoken to Uddhava. Pundanam is saying about that verse that yadyad ishtadamam loke yachadi priyama alpana, whatever you like yourself in this world, what is dear to you, tatan nivedayan mahyam tada anandaya kalpade, if you give that to Krishna, you will have the highest benefit in the sense, anandam or bliss will come from that, by giving it to Krishna. This is the message of that verse. Yadyad ishtadamam loge yachadi priyama alpana tatan nivedayan mahyam tadanandaya kalpade. Pundanam is explaining this verse to all the devotees who are present there. So they started asking question to Pundanam after the class was over, that what do we give to Krishna? So Pundanam asked him, what do you do in life? He said, all of them are farmers. Those days, there was no industry. Everybody grew vegetables, food themselves, isn't it? Majority of the people were farming. They had farms. Vegetables they grew. So some of them said, my main business is I grow bananas. Pundanam says to him, bring the best bananas and give it to Krishna. Somebody else said, I grow jackfruits or mangoes, whatever, different vegetables and fruits. Pundanam says to them, bring them all and give it to Krishna. Bring the best out of it, whatever you have got. Because that's what you are doing. That's what you are doing. That's what you are growing. The best what you grow, bring that. Because they were farmers, bring that and give it to Krishna. So like this, Pundanam spoke to everybody who were present there. Melpathur thought, what have I brought with me? What do I have to give it? How do I bring this verse into my life? All I have brought with me is this disease. And that disease also is not mine. It's somebody else's. Borrowed disease. Achyuta Pisharadi's disease, I've taken it on me. And how can I offer this to Krishna? This is the way he is thinking. Melpathur is thinking at that time. That verse in the Bhagavatam is, if you look into Srila Swami's commentary on that, you will see there that what actually makes a person devotee, that when he is offering everything to Krishna, that is what is the beginning of that Krishna consciousness. Yadya dishtaramam loke yachadi priyama alpana tattan nivedayan mahyam tada anandaya kalpade. The verse is, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, if you want to develop bhakti, begin with this. This is the process to begin. So we'll continue after a few minutes. Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavamahadavagmi nirvapanam shreyakaitava chandriga vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam buddhivardhanam padapurnam radaswadanam sarvatna subanam vijayate Krishna Sangirtanam Namahari Bahuda Dijasarva Shakti Tatrarpida Nimidas Maraneda Kala Eda Drishita Vakrupa Bhagavan Mamavi Durdei Hamidashamiha Janina Nuragaha
ತೃಣಾರಭಿಷುನೀಶೇನ ತರೋರಭಿ ಸಹಿಷ್ಣುನ ಅಮಾನಿನಾಮಾನದೇನ ಕೀರ್ತನೀಯ ಸದಾಹರಿ ಮಧನಂ ಜನಂ ಸುಂದರಿಂ ಇದಂ ವಾ ಜಗದೀಶ ಕಾಮಯೇ ಮಮ ಜನ್ಮನಿ ಜನ್ಮನೀಶ್ವರಿ ಭವದಾತ್ ಭಕ್ತಿರಹೈತುಕಿ ತ್ವಯಿ ಅಯಿ ನಂದತನುಜ ಕಿಂಗರಂ ಪತಿತಾಮಂ ಶಮೇ ಭವಾನ್ ಬುಧೌ ಕೃಪಯಾ ತವ ಪಾದ ಪಂಕಜ ಸ್ಥಿತ ಧೂಳಿ ಸದೃಶಂ ವಿಚಿಂತಯ ನಯನಂ ಗಲದ ಶೋಧಾರಯ ವದನಂ ಗದ್ಗದ ರುದ್ಧಯ ಗಿರ ಪುಲಕೈರ್ನಿಚಿತಂ ಕದಾಭೂ ತವ ನಾಮ ಗ್ರಹಣೇ ಭವಿಷ್ಯತಿ ಯುಗಾಹಿತಂ ನಿಮೇಷೇಣ ಚಕ್ಷುಷಾ ಪ್ರಾವಿಶಾಹಿತಂ ಶೂನ್ಯಾಹಿತಂ ಜಗಲ್ ಸರ್ವಂ ಗೋವಿಂದ ವಿರಹೇ ನಮೇ ಆಶ್ಲೇಷ್ಯ ವಾ ಪಾದರದಾಂ ಪಿನಷ್ಟು ಮಾಂ ಅದರ್ಶನ ಮರ್ಮಹದಾಂ ಕರೋತು ವಾ ಯಥಾ ತದಾ ಭಾವಿದಧಾ ಕುಲಂ ಪಟೋ ಮಲ್ಪ್ರಾಣನಾಥಾಸ್ತು ನೈವ ನಾಪರ ಯದ್ಯದಿಷ್ಟತಮಂ ಲೋಕೇ ಯಚ್ಚಾತಿ ಪ್ರಿಯಮಾತ್ಮನ ತತ್ತನ್ನಿವೇದಯನ್ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ತದಾನಂದಾಯ ಕಲ್ಪದೇ. ಪುಂದಾನಂ ಸ್ಪೋಕ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಆಂಡ್ ಮೆಲ್ಪತ್ತೂರ್ ಹರ್ಡ್ ದಟ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಆಂಡ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದೇರ್ ದಟ್ ಪುಂದಾನ ಮೆಲ್ಪತ್ತೂರ್ ಫೆಲ್ಟ್ ದಟ್ ದಿ ದಿಸ್ point what Krishna, what Pundanam has brought about, that how to develop bhakti in the heart, that was the question from Uddhava. And Krishna's answer was, whatever that is dear to you in this world, offer that to Krishna. By offering that, the anandaya kalpade, unlimited benefits of our bhakti will develop from that. So, so, it is at that time Melpathur thought this, that somehow or the other, due to the special mercy from the teachers, Achyuta Pisharadi and others, and also by the mercy of the Krishna's mercy, Melpathur has got some certain qualities, particularly ability to write, in that too in Sanskrit literature, to compile verses and to glorify Krishna. And the knowledge of the Shastram, Vedantam, everything. So, Melpathur thought, reflected on that. It came to his mind, why shouldn't I write about Krishna? This is how Melpathur started writing. Melpathur started compiling. Up to this point, it was not clear to him what to do. That Ramanuja told him to go and start with the fish, he said, so he understood the message. That to write about Krishna, glorifying the major incarnations, Malsim, Kurmam, Varaham, Narsimham, all the fish, tortoise, boar, starting with fish, all the major incarnations. Personality who took all these different incarnations and played the role in this world, Krishna. Why not glorify Krishna through these different incarnations? This was the message. So Melpathur got the message, but how to get it started? This wasn't very clear in his head still. When Pundanam had spoken about this in the temple, about in Srimad Bhagavatam, these instructions from Krishna to Uddhava, where this particular verse was spoken and expanded on that, explained on that, and Melpathur reflected on that and understood that maybe that this was an eye-opener for him. So, and how do we know this? There is an indication of that in Narayaniyam. If you see that, that that there is a particular verse in the 94th chapter where it says that he says there this particular verse, if you look at it from outside you won't know it, but the way he mentions yadyalabheta tattvam ಯದ್ಯಲ್ಲಭ್ಯೇದ ತತ್ತತ್ತವ ಸಮಪಕೃತಂ ದೇವಿ ದೇವ ದಾಸೋಸ್ಮಿ ದೇಹಂ ತುದ್ಗೇಹಾನ್ ಮಾರ್ಜನಾಧ್ಯಂ ಭವತು ಮಮ ಮುಹು ಕರ್ಮ ನರ್ಮಾಯಮೇವ ಸೂರ್ಯಾಗ್ನಿರ್ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣಾತ್ಮಾದಿಶುಲಸಿತ ಚತುರ್ಬಾಹು ಆರಾಧಯೇ ತ್ವಂ Tulpremardratvarubo mama sadadam abhishyandadam bhakti yoga.
That yadhyalabhyeda datta tava samupakhridam deva dasosmi deham.
Melpatur's request to him that explanations of Pundanam, what Melpatur heard at that time, keeping that in his mind, he put that into these words.
Yadhyalabhyeda datta tava samupakhridam deva dasosmi deham.
Krishna is not saying like that in the Bhagavadam.
In Bhagavadam, Krishna is saying that
yadyadishtadamam loge yachadi priyamalpana. That is how the Bhagavadam verse is.
Pundanam explained that to the devotees there, that whatever that is dear to you, give that to Krishna.
So that explanation from Pundanam has hit Melpatur so much that in his words, when he put that into Narayaniyam, he didn't say the way Krishna has spoken. Instead,
yadyalabheda datta tava samubhakridam devadasosmi deham.
That whatever that has come to you in your life in this world, according to your prarabdham, whatever. If you are a farmer, agricultural products. If you are an employee or a worker, cash or whatever that's coming. Or if you have a gold merchant, if you have got gold a lot, whatever that is, which is very close to you, dear to you,
yadyalabheda datta tava samubhakridam deva dasosmi.
So it is from that explanations devotees have understood that this conversation Melpatur must have been affected by those instructions from Pundanam. Otherwise it could not have come from anywhere else to say that. Because generally, to summarize a story is very easy. It's not difficult to summarize a story. But to summarize a shastram is very difficult. It's not easy. For example, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is Kabilam. Kabila Maharshi Sankhyam is there. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is Vedantam is there. Whole of 11th canto is Vedantam it is. So, when you summarize a shastram, you will see the difficulty. When you want to bring it down, Ekadasha Skandam is 1000. There is in the 1036 verses in Ekadasha. Melpatur managed to condense that in 62 verses in Narayaniyam. When he comes to Narayaniyam, in 62 verses, this 1036 verses he has managed to summarize. So when a shastram is summarized, without losing the spirit in the shastram, to bring forth the shastram effectively is very difficult. Unless you have that such a good power of summarizing capacity and the word power to do that. So you can see that yadyadishtadamam loge yachada priyamalpana tatam nivedayan mahim sadanandaya kalpade. That whole verse Melpatur put here in the form way Pundanam has spoken.
Yadyalabheda tattava samabhadam deva dasosmiteham.
In that way, this has been understood, because people who spoke to Melpatur later, they have also spoken this, discussed this Melpatur at different times. Different devotees who live, and through different generations it has flowed this. But this will not, you will not find them in the books. There are so many instances in the Narayaniyam in the same way. So, anyway. So, here. So, Melpatur realized that this is the time to begin to write about Krishna. That is how he starts that. So that was the day when you can imagine that this has happened probably somewhere in the middle of December. Somewhere in the middle, say middle of December 14th or 15th, it was at that time. And by now, since Krishna has spoken to Sri Parvati first time about the need for a stotram, almost it is a year now. A year has gone. Krishna is getting impatient. Where is the stotram? He is saying. He is pushing Melpatur from inside as well. So, Melpatur every day compiled 10 verses. Every morning he used to come. It's a long story. If ever we get an opportunity to discuss Narayaniyam in detail, that time we can bring all these things. But today just we have to realize it, that what Melpathur did was, he had tremendous pain in his body, so he couldn't sit for the whole day at the temple. He used to go home by middle of the day. After the prasadam, he used to go and rest. The reason was, the purpose behind that was, he was trying to write, summarize Bhagavadam, and Bhagavadam is like a summary of the whole Vedantam, isn't it? Brahma Sutram is there, Bhagavad Gita is there, Mahabharatam is there, Upanishads are there, and all the other Puranams are also there. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see Narasimha Puranam is there, Kurma Puranam is there, Malsi Puranam is there, Vamana Puranam is there, Varaha Puranam is there. All the Puranams are there in the Bhagavatam, in different cantos. Only thing is, from Puranam, it is taken and summarized and put it in the Bhagavatam. But all Puranams are present in the Bhagavatam. Added to that, if you look into the first and second canto, there is Mahabharatam there. Is it not? When Ashwatthama meets with the... When children were killed, Panjari's, Draupadi's children were killed, and Ashwatthama fired the Brahmastram, all that part is from Mahabharatam. Ramayanam is there, is it not? If you look into the ninth canto, three chapters are whole Ramayanam. Shuka Brahmarshi summarized Ramayanam for Parikshit's benefit and spoke to him. Even though Shuka Brahmarshi told Parikshit that you don't need to hear Ramayanam, you heard from Markandeya's face many times. Why do I have to repeat that? He said. So Parikshit said, I want to hear Ramayanam from Shuka Brahmarshi's face, he said. So that's why in Shuka Brahmarshi's Ramayanam you will find Shuka Brahmarshi evaluating Ramachandra. Remember that? Stri Sanginam Gadimidi Pradhayam Chachara. Where he talks about Ramachandra like this, that if you get attached to women, even if it's Ramachandra, you have to suffer in this world. That is a very outright statement from Shiva Brahmarshi about Ramachandra. Sri Sanginam Gatimidi. You are attached to Sri Sangam. Sri Sangam means attachment. In that way, wrongly attached, it applies to both sides, for the man and the woman. Sri Sanginam Gatimidi. This will be their ultimate. You will have to run around in this world crying. Sri Sanginam Gatimidi Pradhayam Shachara. Shiva Brahmarshi mentions about Ramachandra there. So Ramayanam is there, Mahabharatam is there, all the Puranas are there, Vedantam is there, Brahma Sutram is there. So it is in the middle of all these things that you have to summarize Bhagavatam, which is not an easy job. And that means it requires time to reflect. So every morning, after 10 verses were completed, when the pain becomes excessive, after the prasadam, he used to leave and go and rest wherever he was staying at that time. There was a house at that time. Today, they have built a huge auditorium there in his name. It seems that Krishna wanted it that way. There was a house at that time, right in front of the temple, where those devotees who had done some service at the temple, they used to rest there. Melpathur was staying there in that. There was a place for him, because it was not so crowded like today. There was so much space available. And that building has all gone now, and they built a huge auditorium there now, right in front of the temple. So he used to go there and rest for the rest of the day, after the midday, after he come back. And the rest whole afternoon, and he couldn't sleep because of the pain. He used to reflect on that part of Srimad Bhagavatam which he has to summarize the next day. So preparing for the next day, he had to do that in that state. In that state. That is how Narayaniyam was written. So here, he continued this for 100 days, and there was couple of days left for this 100 days. So it was on that day. Finally, when it was completed, that was the last Ekadashi day what we had, on 22nd of November. And that became the famous Ekadashi festival in Guruvayur. Guruvayur Ekadashi, as it's called. It became that famous Ekadashi festival on that particular day when Narayaniyam was completed and handed over to Krishna. So, it was then that there's a conversation between Melpathur and Krishna, that Krishna asked, as I mentioned before, that what should be the name of the book. And the name was decided. Narayana has written about Narayana. So it was given the name as Narayaniyam. Narayaniyam. So, that's how the name was mentioned there. And last verses, you will find the meaning of that verse itself. Nara means Narayaniyam generally. Of course, the name Narayana, if you understand it from the viewpoint of the Shastram, Naram means living entity, Jivalma. Jivalma is called Naram. Ayanam means the shelter, shelter for the living entities. That is how the word Narayana is understood. So, and because Srinarada Maharshi gives shelter to living entities who are in distress, through the knowledge of the self, therefore he called the name as Narada. That's how the name Narada has come. One who, Naram Dadadi Iti Narada. One who gives shelter to Jivalmas in spiritual life. Sri Narada Maharshi got the name as Narada Maharshi. Similarly, Krishna is the shelter of all the living entities, like we say in the 12th canto of the Bhagavadam. Is it not? Ashrayam is Krishna. So that shelter, Ayanam, Ayanam is shelter. That shelter for the living entities, ultimate shelter for the living entities is Narayana. Is Narayana. Krishna gave the name to book to Narayaniyam, and therefore, because Krishna has given the name to the book, Melpathur has also completely accepted that. Therefore, there was no special glorifications written about Narayaniyam elsewhere. So, so like this, Narayaniyam became popular, and through Narayaniyam, Krishna became popular through Grivayur in the same way. So, there is no other stotram written by any other devotee which has influenced Krishna like the way Narayaniyam has affected. Afterwards, Krishna had a talk with Sri Parvati about the beauty of Narayaniyam. Because till then, Krishna always felt that there wasn't enough glorifications like the way it has been spoken. So, talking about this Narayaniyam before we conclude today. Then Mahalmyam or glorification of Narayaniyam that is present in the Narayaniyam itself. When you read it, you will know that. First thing, before talking about the form, Melpathur thought that I should introduce this person who is here to the world. That is how it begins. If you look at the first verses in the first chapter, first 10 verses, no reference at all about the form. No reference at all. A complete introduction of the personality inside in the temple, Krishna. Introduction of Krishna to the world. Who is he? Who is he? That is how the beginning of that. So, it is Vishnu's manifestations, isn't it? Vaishnavam it is. That Vaishnava Tejas or Vaishnava form is manifested inside. But what is the nature of that person? That is something very requires understanding. Understanding. Why? Because normally you can see in this world, suppose, this is quite usual in all over the world. Say in an office you are working, your boss is gone, another boss has come. What will the people who are working under him will talk about him? They will talk to each other. What's he like? What is he like? Isn't it? You want to know his nature. What's he like? What kind of person is he? By asking that question, what is implied in that? You just want to know what kind of person is he to deal with. That's what is, it always happens in the big companies, you will know when you work there, that your big bosses also get replaced often, isn't it? One morning when you go, he says he has gone. Somebody else has come from America or from somewhere else. And you don't know about him, but you had contact with the previous boss for some time and you got to know him well. Because you got to know him, you know how to deal with him, what he likes and what he doesn't like. So many things in working relationship, it happens. So when a new boss comes, first thing you want to know his nature. Is it not? It's quite normal in this world. All of us have that same tendency to understand what the new boss is like. So that when you deal with him, you can be careful or free, whichever way you feel about it. And this happens not only in offices and factories, temples also. When a new GBC or temple president comes, all the devotees talk to each other. What's he like? What's he like? Because you have to deal with him. So it is a normal thing in the human nature. You can't take it away. Even in temples, I have seen this happening. You also may have seen this. That when a new temple president comes, suddenly so many things happen in the higher level. Some new temple president is appointed and so. And he comes and he takes charge. How many times this has repeated, I don't know. But a new person comes, then everybody is for a few days is a little wary about it. Till he knows what the new person is like. Is it not? So, what's his nature? We'll inquire about that. And then you will decide whether to get closer to him or whether to stay away from him. After knowing his nature, his history, his track record, everything, people will talk about all these things. It's not much different in the temple and the offices. It's exactly the same thing. So, it is in Narayaniyam, Melpathur introduces Krishna to us in this particular way. Instead of talking about his form or about his beauty or about the, like in the Bhagavatam, what you find, that what Vasudeva said when Krishna appeared, Vasudeva Maitrada, it says in the Bhagavatam. And instead of talking about that side of it, first thing is, this is his nature. And that is why the first 10 verses in the Narayaniyam is nothing but Krishna's character. Krishna's character. Sandram Anandam Avabhodam. That's what it begins. Sandrananda Avabhodalmagam Anupamidam Kaladeshavadibhyam Nurmuktam Nityamuktam Nigamashada Sahasrena Nurbhasyamanam Aspashtam Rishtamatre Punar Uruburushartalmagam Brahmadatvam Tatavel Bhadi Sakshal Guru Pavanapure Handabhagyam Jananam. So, beginning from this verse, the first 10 verses is nothing but an explanation of Krishna's nature. This was nature. And that too compiled in such a beautiful verses that anyone who reads those verses, they will be affected by that. Those verses will be affected by that. So, in this way, and it is in there, he is talking about there also, that what is the speciality? These are one or two things in the Narayaniyam. There are so many things in Narayaniyam to talk about. But several interesting things. Like, this way, Melpathur begins his description of Krishna. Krishna's nature. How does Krishna deal with the devotees? So many. We hear so many stories, isn't it? But somebody who had a very, very close relationship with Krishna, with whom he has interacted while compiling Narayaniyam, and what he had to say, what he heard, and in his interactions with Krishna, and he mentions there, namranam sannidate. First nature of Krishna is that even as soon as you pay your obeisances to Krishna, he comes in front of you. You may not see him, but he comes. That's what Melpathur says there. He says, namranam sannidate. Not that if you have heard about him, he comes straight away. If that was the case, he could have used another word there. But instead, namranam sannidhate. Namranam means, as soon as you pay your obeisances to Krishna, immediately Krishna is present there. So, that is the nature of Krishna. The special peculiarity of Krishna is spoken in that verse. So, anybody who pays obeisances to Krishna, Krishna comes in front of him. And that was the important thing which Melpathur mentions about Krishna. So paying obeisances is not an easy thing, isn't it? We think obeisances means just falling down on the ground and touching the head on the feet. But in the proper way to pay obeisances, unless the false ego has gone away completely from inside, the obeisances what you pay has no meaning. Even though physically you are falling down, touching your head on the ground, touching the whole body on the ground, Sashtanga Namaskaram they call it, or all the eight parts of the body touching the ground. Physically it is possible. But that obeisances is only complete when you have, there is no false ego inside. And that's where all the problem is. That's where all the problem is. So, there also you can see that many people think that if somebody pays obeisances that he has willing to surrender. So, many people that they were fortunate enough to go to the temple and see the deity and pay their obeisances there. That is very good. If that can, one can do that. One can do that. But, how long can we do that? A day will come in this life when you are lying in the bed. If you want to change from one side to another, you will need help. So what can you do at that time? Today you can pay obeisances, maybe the body is healthy enough. But right at this moment, you may not feel that necessity. Why do I have to pay obeisances to Krishna? Or even if you pay obeisances to Krishna, the thoughts that's going through your mind at that point is not full of surrender, is it? It's not full of surrender. It's just you're doing it because somebody has told you to do it, or on your own you have decided to do it. Whatever it may be, that while entering into the temple to pay obeisances to the deity is a normal custom or a practice that's being followed. But really, obeisances to deity, obeisances to Krishna means to completely free from that ego inside and to be totally surrendered and then to offer obeisances to Krishna, that is very, very rare. Particularly, Krishna is saying, Melpathur is saying here, namranam sannidhatte sadadam aviburantai anabhyartidan anabhyartidanabhi arthan kamana jasram vidaradi paramananda sandram gadim cha itam nishesha labhyo niravadhika phala parijado hare tvam kshudram dam shakravadim drumam abhilshadi vyartham arthim vrajoyam. Melpathur's point is this, that a day comes in life, all of us, today it is not happening, but it can happen. It can happen. A day will come when we will be lying in the bed and will be lying in such a condition that to turn from one side to the other side, you will need help from somebody, which is not a very pleasant situation, is it? Then we don't think about it. When you have a healthy body, we think, oh, it will go like this, we will see when we deal with it, when we come to that. That's the mood at this time. We are busy with the house, with the family, with the children, with the job and with the future ideas, so many things, whatever that's going through your head. But we have to remember this. A day will come in our life when even to turn from one side to the other, you will need help, somebody else's help. That is when this verse is significant. Melpathur is saying that all the time when I had the health, I paid my obeisances. Today I can't do that anymore. While lying in that bed to leave the body, So at that time, you can't pay your obeisances. But Krishna's point is, because you paid obeisances to me when you were healthy, at a time when you could do it, now you can't do it. I know that better than you. This is Krishna's attitude to that devotee. That is what Melpathur is saying there. Namranam sannidatte sadadama viburandai anabhyartidanabi arthan kamana jasram vidaradi paramananda sandram gadimcha. Another important thing is, it's only Krishna who recognizes this, that what you have done in previous times in your life, when you had the health, when you had all the facility, you still came to me and took my shelter. Now I realize that your health is no good, you are not even able to get up from the bed. That does not mean that I have forgotten you. Krishna's attitude is like that to the devotee. So therefore, even at that time, while lying in the bed, deathbed, practically to turn you may need the help. So, if you say to Krishna at that time, I am unable to pay my obeisances to you, Krishna says, don't get frightened about that. Don't get frightened about that. Even within your mind, if you are able to think obeisances to Krishna, if you are thinking, lying in that situation in the bed, even at that time, Krishna says, anabhyartidanarthanabhi, that even though you have not asked me to come, I will come for your shelter. Namranam sannidatte sadadam abhipurantai anabhyartidan. Anabhyartidan, you have not asked for it, but because you have done it before, as I keep that in my memory, and I come, even though you have not asked for me to come now, because you are not able to pay your obeisances, therefore you are thinking that you can't expect me to come. No. Anabhyartidan arthan kaman. Then, if with your mind, if you are able to pay obeisances to Krishna at that time, Krishna says, I will be there, I will be there. In other words, anyone who have paid obeisances to Krishna in this life, and even at the time of death, even physically, if he is not able to do that, Krishna will come to him at that time for his help. That is how Melpathur introduces Krishna to us. So, you have to remember this, how important this verse is. Normally, when we go to big temples, even Bhaktivedanta Manor, doesn't matter, wherever it is, generally those who go there, we will not ask Krishna about how to escape from this material life. We will be going, when we go there, we will be thinking about all our problems in our life. If either it's a health problem, or it's problem with the work. So many times you can see people, even though we talk all this philosophy and everything, when we get there in front of the deity, the prayers will be generally about all the problems in life, what we are experiencing here at this moment in time. Either due to the situation at home with the family members, children are not listening, or one has gone away on his own, he does what he wants, doesn't care, or wife is always arguing and quarreling and getting too much into the head. Same thing with the husband, either way it can happen. Or problems with the boss at the workplace, whoever, whatever work you are doing, doesn't matter. If there is none of these problems, there will be some problem with the health. So, you will see, devotees, if you look carefully, you will see, nobody in the heart of their hearts, they will be asking for a exit from this material life. Nobody asks for it. Everybody, according to the intensity of the problem that they are facing, they will be asking Krishna for help. If they are not saying it directly to him, it will be in their heart. The problem will be on the top of the all other issues. So, generally, we will forget what we need from Krishna. Is it not? What is that? Get out of this material life once for all. That's what we need. That we will never ask. Even we ask, it will be very much on the surface, superficial level. It says in the Bhagavad Gita like that, so I will recite this verse and leave the place. But Vayanas, from our heart, from the core, deep core of our heart, that one particular request to Krishna will never come. It's always problem, problem, problem in this world. Whatever it may be, financial or health or wealth or whatever. Some of the problems, whatever it may be. A devotee, may, brahmachari may be thinking, when will I get become my sannyasi? Or sannyasi will be thinking when I'll become a guru. Or guru will be thinking when will I have my empire built. All these kind of ideas will be going through the head. Who does anything with this idea that once for all they're going to exit from this material life? To come to that state, you have to be so disgusted with this world. But unfortunately, nobody is disgusted with the world. Nobody. Whether it is sannyasi, or whether it's guru, whether it's brahmachari, householder, doesn't matter. Nobody is disgusted with the world. And to come to that state, it is not easy. But Melpathur is saying here, you go and ask everything from Krishna, and you will go home after that. According to your prarabdham, Krishna will give it to you also. Whatever you qualify, you will get it. Krishna doesn't interfere in that. Even though you are saying all your problems to Krishna, Krishna's reaction is always this. Look, this is your prarabdham, what you are getting. Accordingly, you are getting it. I can't do anything about it. That's all. Sometimes he may come out of that and give you some help also in this world. But Melpathur is saying, exactly that's not what Krishna is looking at. His point is, anabhyarthidanarthanabhi ajasram vidaradi. Those things he may or may not give you, but this one thing he will give it to you if you take Krishna shelter. Paramananda sandhram gadimcha. Paramananda sandhram gadimcha. An ultimate exit from this miseries of material life. That is Krishna's nature. That is, this is the important point Melpathur had to say about Krishna. That don't go to Krishna with all your other problems. You can go and ask him. And normally you don't ask about liberation from material life. Nobody asks. We will say so many things, but nobody says anything about it. And if that desire doesn't come up easily in us, is it not? You don't get that desire very easily to get liberated from here. Our desire is still how to get the job reasonably going, how the family life goes, how all other things in this world goes on, and when the old age comes and when the death comes, let it come. We'll see at that time. But what Melpathur's point is, that if you have gone to Krishna, and Krishna's special nature is this, that paramananda sandram gadimcha, that ultimate destination, that after leaving this body, Krishna says, I will offer you that, even though I may not offer you all the other things. That is why Melpathur, the whole of first chapter, glorifying Krishna, spoke in that way. That speciality, Krishna's speciality. Because people worship different devadas for different purposes. They worship Sri Parvati for various reasons. It's in the Bhagavatam, if you can see, in the second canto, beginning, isn't it? Who worships whom for what? Remember that? Those verses? Famous verses, isn't it? So there he is saying, in the second verse, second canto, if you look, you will see there, that all those Shukha Brahma, she is saying this to Parikshit. It is the second canto, I think it's in the first chapter itself. Third chapter. There's a whole list. Brahma varchasya kamastu yajeda brahmanaspadim indriya kamastu praja kama prajapadin devi mayam tu shri kamam tejas kamo vibhavasum vasu kamo vasun rudran virya kamo tha viryavan അന്നാദ്യ കാമസ്ത്വദ്യതിം സ്വർഗകാമോതിരേസുതാൻ വിശ്വാൻ ദേവാൻ രാജകാമാൻ സാധ്യാൻ സംസാധകോ വിഷാം ആയുഷ്കാമോ അശ്വിനോ ദേവോ പുഷ്ടികാമമിളാം യജേത് പ്രതിഷ്ഠാകാമപുരുഷോ രോദസീ ലോകമാധുരോ രൂപാഭികാമോ ഗന്ധർവാൻ സ്ത്രീകാമോപ്സരമുർവശീം ആധിപത്യകാമ സർവേഷാം യജേത പരമേഷ്ടിനം യജ്ഞം യജേത് യശസ്കാമം കോശകാമ പ്രചേതസം വിദ്യാകാമസ്തു ഗിരീശം ദാമ്പത്യാർത്ഥവുമാം സതീം ധർമാർത്ഥകൗതമശ്ലോകം തന്തും തന്വാൻ പിതൃ യജേൽ രക്ഷാകാമ പുണ്യജനാൻ ഓജസ്കാമോ മരുൽ ഗണാൻ രാജ്യകാമോ മനുന്ദേവാൻ നിരതിം തുപിചരൻ യജേൽ കാമകാമോ യജേൽ സോമം അകാമപുരുഷം പരം. ദീസ് നൈൻ വേഴ്സസ് ശ്രീ ശുക ബ്രഹ്മർഷി സെയ്സ് ടു പരീക്ഷേത് ഇൻ ദ ബിഗിനിങ് ഓഫ് ദ ഭാഗവതം ദാറ്റ് യു കെ സിമിലർലി ലൈക്ക് ദിസ് വാട്ട് യു കെൻ ആസ്ക് ലോർഡ് ശിവ വാട്ട് യു കെൻ ആസ്ക് ശ്രീ പാർവതി വാട്ട് യു കെൻ ആസ്ക് അപ്സരസ് വിമെൻ ആൻഡ് വാട്ട് യു കെൻ ആസ്ക് ദി ഗന്ധർവാസ് ഇഫ് യു വാണ്ട് എ ഗുഡ് beautiful looking body, approach Gandharvas. Then who have attachment for women, Apsaras woman, you want her association, approach Urvashi. Then similarly, if you want a long lifespan, worship Ashwini Kumaras. And yajnam yajet yashaskamam koshakamam prajadasam. If you want knowledge, spiritual knowledge, approach Girisha, Lord Shiva. ദാമ്പത്യാർത്ഥ ഉമാം സതീം ഇഫ് യു വാണ്ട് എ ഗുഡ് മാരിഡ് ലൈഫ് അപ്രോച്ച് ശ്രീ പാർവതി ലൈക് ദിസ് എവറിഥിങ് ഈസ് സ്പോക്കൺ ആൻഡ് ഫൈനലി വാട്ട് ഡിഡ് ഹി സേ ഹി സെഡ് അകാമ സർവകാമോ വ മോക്ഷകാമ ഉദാരധി തീവ്രേണ ഭക്തിയോഗേന യജേത പുരുഷം പരം. യു മേ ഹാവ് ഓൾ ദീസ് ഡിസയേഴ്സ് ഇൻ യു ബട്ട് മോർ ഇമ്പോർട്ടന്റ് ദാൻ ഓൾ യുവർ ഡിസയേഴ്സ് ആൻഡ് ദ ലിസ്റ്റ് വട്ട് യു ഹാവ് മെയ്ഡ് there is something more this human body can offer, that is freedom from material existence, liberation, freedom from this cycle of birth and death, and that is what Krishna can offer. Melpathur caught on that verse, this verse in the second canto, and put that very powerfully in Narayaniyam in the first chapter. Namranam sannidhate satatam abhipurandai anabhyarthidanabhi arthan kaman ajasram vidarati പരമാനന്ദ സാന്ദ്രം ഗതിം ച ഇത്തം നിശേഷലഭ്യോ നിരവധി കഫല പാരിജാതോ ഹരേ ത്വം ക്ഷുദ്രം തം ശക്രവാടീം ദ്രുമം അഭിലഷതി വ്യർത്ഥമർത്ഥി വ്രജോയം. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഹൗ ഹി ബിഗാൻ ഇൻട്രൊഡ്യൂസിംഗ് കൃഷ്ണ ഇൻ ദി നാരായണീയം. ഐ ഹവ് സ്പോക്കൺ ദിസ് ടുഡേ ബിക്കോസ് വി ആർ ഫ്യൂ ഓഫ് അസ് ആർ ഗോയിങ് ദയർ ഇൻ ദി നെക്സ്റ്റ് മന്ത്. So just as an introduction to that, tomorrow we'll go back to Srimad Bhagavatam where we stopped last time. That's the 10th canto. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.